Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, follow the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Whoa. Host? Annual?
Host.
Host?
Annual.
An annual meeting of...
The big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me!
And Andy. And Andy?
That set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah, we're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I'm working on fumes, but it's all good. Unbelievable. No one predicted that type of win. A lot of people predicted the Patriots would win, but the way that they did, complete and utter domination. I think no matter what power poll you're looking at, power ranking you're looking at this week, the Patriots are going to be on top. I would have an argument for anyone that didn't have them on top this week, but unbelievable. Tom Brady playing the best football perhaps we've ever seen him play. You know, with all the midseason adjustments he's had to make and everything like that, unbelievable defense, you know, still giving up yards. But, hey, I think that was one of their best games so far this season, only giving up 3 points. So, hey, it's all good. Paul's here, and it's a busy day at Gillette Stadium, open locker room, Bill Belichick, all the phone conferences going on with the Chicago Bears with Lovie Smith, and I'm not sure. I think Brian Urlacher will be calling in. So it's a big day as Patriots prepare for the Bears. And Paul, I just heard early forecast for Sunday, and I mean they're talking about wind chills of maybe minus 40 degrees.
Yeah, that's the kind of weather that can impact a game.
It sure can.
You know, especially the way the Patriots like to play, throwing it around. Now,
pick the under.
With this, you know, with the way they have been throwing it lately, maybe not as much as you know, when Randy Moss was still here. But, yeah, something to consider.
Yep.
That kind of wind.
So Andy's here. Andy just came back from where? I don't know.
Went to get his lunch.
Well, I got my lunch after.
You got your little lunch in your bag.
Why is it going to be a little lunch?
The best news, Freddie, is that you made the declaration that you weren't emotionally prepared to lose. And
right.
Your emotions are intact.
Yeah, I didn't have to, you know.
I mean, you had no trips to the psychiatrist or anything? No.
Though some people are asking why I didn't run through the press box with my shirt off. Because I think I said, you said.
Say if we lost. I thought that was if we lost.
No. I think
if it was a blowout.
You were talking about 56-3. And
yeah.
I said, if it was 56-3, I'll run through the press
box.
Yeah,
you should say that.
Yeah, but it wasn't 56-3. So I
playing the role of Paul Perillo and reneging on a bet promise.
Oh, no, that's I reneged. This is semantics he's falling back on.
And no one wanted to see that. So. Well, except maybe Marge.
Yeah, I was just thinking of, you know, doing.
She's got a fella.
I was thinking of doing curse words without a shirt on anyway.
I'd prefer you didn't. I mean, you came pretty close today. You have a short sleeve shirt on with all the hair hanging out. If you have the ability to watch Patriots Football Weekly TV, watch it this week to see Fred in jeans, a short sleeve, untucked shirt, and Zig-Tecs on TV next to Paul and Andy, who are dressed as normal with dress shirts and pants and coat.
Well, I said in honor of the Patriots dressing down the Jets, I figured I'd do my own dressing down.
Yeah, you just forgot.
And honestly, I forgot that we were doing the show this morning.
No one cares about our team. Now it's one-third of the people on the show don't care about the show.
Yeah, we did like a 0.1 last week, so, I mean.
So we're just giving up?
You know.
Did Bill Belichick give up after Cleveland?
The only one I'd be impressing if I dressed
up
was
the
Hart
family.
So at this point, you know, it really doesn't matter.
That's a great attitude. That's great.
I've got other things to worry about.
So are you happy? I came in when your little mid-weather discussion about the minus 40 wind chills on Sunday.
Am I happy? No.
I think it just makes it a weather game. I don't think the better team, even the, you know, Bill says the better team that day wins. In minus 40 degree with wind, I just think a team wins. I don't think necessarily the better team wins. It makes it a pure weather game.
Yeah, it depends. If it's that windy and that cold, yeah, it really neutralizes everything.
It just makes it luck.
It's a matter of attrition.
I agree with Andy. It makes it a matter of luck. You get a roll on a punt that backs a team up.
Right.
Something like that. You remember one of the biggest plays in that game, was it 2008? It must have been with Castle.
Chicago.
Castle was playing.
Buffalo.
Yeah. One of the most important plays, Chris Hansen had like a 68-yard punt or something into the wind in that game that completely flipped the field.
Heath Evans lead the receptions with two?
Oh, Heath Evans was the best player for either team that day.
That was unbelievable that day.
I think
that's what this is going to be. Like, the most important player on the field could be, I don't even know, you know, Sammy Morris with one play. Like, a single play could change the game.
These are the kind of games where, like, a guy like Jermaine Wiggins could be the player of the game.
And just, you know, literally two catches or something wins the day. And I don't think that means you're the better team. I don't think the better team wins.
No, but if it's that bad, it's hard to throw, 35 times like that.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I do think, and Andy, you were coming in as I was making the point, the way that the Patriots threw the ball, say, Monday night, would probably be less affected by wind than maybe week two when Randy Moss was still here.
But
it's still going to be affected.
It's still ridiculous. I mean, what is the actual mile per hour? I saw the minus 40 wind chill. What is the...
I don't know.
That equates to that. It's got
to
be...
Yeah, that has to be like 60,
And we've seen some games...
Gale force winds.
in Chicago on highlights where, kicks are going sideways... into the side.
Are you buttoning your pants while talking?
No, I'm buttoning my shirt with my microphone for the TV show.
I said in the locker room, I wouldn't want to be Zoltan Mesko because,
if you're trying to keep the ball, Andy brought up a point while we were filming the TV show about Devin Hester. Is that an X factor? Do you allow him to make plays? Do you kick the ball away from him? I would guess that Bill wants to, at all costs, keep the ball away from
Mesko
him.
Mesko shanks it when you ask him to kick it directionally with zero wind. Yeah, what's he going to do with all that wind?
Add in a dynamic of wind, and now you're saying, Zoltan, make sure you kick it to the sideline.
And play the wind.
And make sure into that 30-mile-an-hour wind that you're not getting off a 12-yarder like Steve Weatherford did the other night.
Right.
You increase the chances for a mistake. Maybe he gets it through the wind, but maybe it goes right to Hester. Or maybe you keep it away from Hester and...
Straight out of bounds.
Good field position.
Some guy in row 10 catches it.
Well, so we're going to be getting into the Bears game, but obviously we want to wrap up this Jets game. It's the first time we've talked about it.
And I was right
again.
Even
though it's Wednesday.
When I walked in from the parking lot and said, no chance with Mark Sanchez on this day and this place, I was right again.
Okay. Well, I think we all picked the Patriots.
I picked them early, but the no chance thing, they had no chance from the get-go. He was throwing crappy all day long.
Yeah.
He looked like he pooped himself.
He really did. He had no answer.
No, he was behind guys all over the place with his throws. He just wasn't ready for that environment, atmosphere.
I mean, he did not even look as good as some of the things he was last year. He was definitely...
Because it wasn't the
Certainly didn't look as good as he did in week two.
No.
Right. But, I mean, he just wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And I would say that for the rest of his team as well, but
he
was
Jets
the leader of the
not well. The
being
Patriots
ready.
Were exceptional.
By the way, Freddie, the temperature during the game is supposed to be a balmy 2 degrees with winds from 25 to 30 out of the northwest.
30, not as bad as I was thinking. But
oh, my God.
And a 30% chance of snow
during
the game.
But 2 degrees,
it's cold.
Is, that Tennessee
to,
game here,
25
that
or 30 was 4 degrees. Winds,
that was
is bad, but not.
That'll affect the game, but I don't think it'll
eliminate.
2 degrees.
2 degrees is colder than what we've had here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but they play. They play games in cold. I mean, that's going to hurt them, no question. Both teams. But
It's
Brady
a weather game.
Yeah, Brady has succeeded in really cold temperatures. But
yeah, because for all
you add in 40-mile-an-hour winds.
For all intents and purposes, it's like the Indy game with respect that when the game kicks off, it's going to be basically a night game because the sun sets at like 4:20.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So, it'll be dark, windy, cold,
and 2 degrees.
Snowy.
Miserable. Absolutely miserable.
It'll be 70 in the press box.
I mean, hope.
Well, that's true. This does get into the point where the heating systems can't keep up with.
And it's one of those old stadiums. Now, I don't know did they redo the whole press box
I believe
in that area?
So.
I hope so. I've never been there.
By the way,
I haven't either. But
to put it in perspective, the average low for this time of year in Chicago is 25. So 2 degrees is way below that.
It's John Giorsi with our PFW forecast.
Right.
Well, you asked. So.
Who's that?
I don't know. I think there's a guy in Rhode Island or something. Oh. Just sound like a familiar meteorologist.
Speaking of
Kevin Lemanowitz.
Speaking of our PFW show, Strippers Rights, and it'll be on at 5 o'clock this week.
No one cares anymore. Like, it's embarrassing. We don't have a producer. They move us at a different time every week. Fred shows up in casual Friday attire.
This week, our lead camera guy is in Orlando for the winter meetings for baseball.
Who was our fallback producer.
Right.
Is now, we're beyond him. We now literally have an intern making decisions about our show. A kid making $8 an hour who's still in college making decisions about our show.
All right, now getting...
Why are you giving me that look?
Why do you got to take a shot? He's not making any decisions. What are you
getting back?
They were asking him. They said today, quote, do you like how this looks? So are they.
No, not all of them. Glenn's been here most of
the time.
He was sweating it out a little.
Glenn was in charge today.
Getting back to the Jets game, you weren't surprised that Sanchez, you know, played as poorly as he did. But
I was.
I'm talking to Andy. Andy wasn't. But was anyone surprised that other than that one little stretch where they sacked Brady on a couple consecutive plays, that they didn't get that much pressure on Brady?
A little bit, but they haven't been getting as much pressure this year. That's why they're not as good.
Yeah, I thought they had a fair amount of pressure, but nothing that hurt the Patriots. And no, Andy's right. They haven't.
The difference between their defense being good this year and great last year.
They haven't done that all year. That's why their defense has just been spotty.
And Brady seemed to know, like, the pressure would come. He'd step up or he'd kind of roll out of the pocket a little bit and really buy himself not just a little time, a lot of time.
He was one step ahead of them all night.
What I thought was weird was he got sacked 3 times, and on all 3 of them, the Jets had like a runaway rusher that just shot through and dropped him immediately.
Yeah.
And virtually every other play was the way you described.
Yeah.
Brady was a step ahead and bought himself time when he needed. Now, most of the time, the ball was out in a shot anyway, so it didn't matter. But it just was weird, the dichotomy of you either got sacked or you had all day. There was no, like, constant pressure around him.
Danny Woodhead, unbelievable. I mean, the guy just keeps making plays.
2 longest plays of his career.
And, you know, he's just so reliable for a guy who's had so little action up until the point, you know, where he joined the Patriots.
I liked how Welker said it. He's a guy we got off the streets, which I thought was funny. He pluralized it. We got it off the streets. And he's making plays for us, and we now expect him to make plays for us.
Yeah.
That's what it is. A little while ago, he's on the streets. Then you accept his plays and say, okay, he made a couple plays. Now you just say, I want him to make plays. He's part of the offense.
That does make him sound like he was, like, growing up in the hood or something.
Oh, I thought of a streetwalker walking the streets was a prostitute, that he was just out there.
No, I just think of, you know, like a gang member or something. He's been just running the streets.
He's tough streets of Chadron State.
I mean, you know, that is just amazing.
Well, Paul had a good story idea today to talk to Kevin Falk about Danny Woodhead's role on the team and kind of the fact that he's been seamlessly replaced. You know,
Right. Everybody
said Falk was so key, and now all of a sudden you got the same guy.
Man, well, he was key.
It's a great story
idea,
Paul. But
it's not just like, you know, like sometimes you're watching a game and the guard goes down and they bring in another guard and you don't notice it. But you do notice Woodhead because he's not just out there. He's making plays. He's picking up blitzes. He's blocking downfield.
To be fair, that's his job.
I'm just saying it's not. Well, you know, you really didn't notice the loss of Falk, but what Falk did was important, and Woodhead is doing those same things. You know, you can't.
That's my point. Did we overrate Falk?
But see, that's the point. You can't diminish what Falk did while he was out there. You know, those are important things that not everyone could do.
How do you
know? Amazing thing is that Woodhead has come in and done them. You know, because
didn't Sammy Morris do it a couple of years ago? I'm starting to wonder if you play third down back in Brady's offense.
I'm not
sure.
He did it like that.
Yeah, I'm
over a short span. Yeah,
I'm not sure about
two or three years ago. There were a couple games where Falk was good. I mean, Morris was very good. Now I'm starting to wonder: does the third down role in this offense just equate to you're going to get the chances to make plays and you're going to have open space?
Well, I think part of that is true. The last thing you said, but I don't remember Sammy Morris having the kind of impact in any individual game that Woodhead has had in virtually all of them. I'm not saying that he didn't have any, but I don't really remember him making standout contributions.
I think he used to always have these like 25-yard catches when he would get the chances as a third-down roll, and he would bust a couple runs in third-down passing situation roles.
I just
didn't do it for seven straight games or whatever he's done it for.
That's sort of the point, too. But I just think that, you know, he's not just out there filling – you know, a roster spot. He's really making plays on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. It truly is amazing, I think.
Sure.
You know? And then the whole argument, I think, has been settled. They are as good as they were with Randy Moss offensively.
Better.
You might argue better, but I don't think that there's any doubt.
In 2010, they're better.
Yeah. I don't think in any doubt that they're as good.
Yeah, I think they're better. Yeah.
So the question of they'll be fine, yeah, that's answered. They are fine.
You were right. You lucked into it again.
I don't think I lucked
into
it.
Why is it that every time we're right about something, we were lucky?
Right.
But
you
know, he
if
comes
you
in.
If you pick Tom Brady's side, you got a good chance of being right. Brady and Belichick.
That's not an educated guess.
That's not luck, then.
That's luck.
You know, luck is walking across the parking lot and predicting that the other team's quarterback is going to poop the bed.
No, that's
luck.
Analysis of a guy and an environment. It's being right. Okay. Just saying Brady's going to win.
You get that?
Did you get that?
Yeah. Generally, Brady goes 14-2 every year, so if you predict him to win, you're going to win.
I didn't. This wasn't about Brady's going to win.
Yeah, this argument. The offense isn't better without Brady, so aligning yourself with the offense is aligning yourself with Brady.
Oh, boy.
He really is remarkable.
But people did make the argument they would not be better without Moss.
I did.
Yeah.
No question.
Chris Carter said that they wouldn't be. They're going to miss Randy Moss.
Right.
I don't think they have.
Welker won't have as much room to work. Hernandez won't have the safeties
and this and that. Yeah.
Well, when Tom Brady elevates his game to the level he's at, he overcomes whatever step back you took in the other.
That whole stretching the field only
works if the guy stretching the field is better. That's fine with me, Andy.
If you want to just align yourself, I mean, Fred goes 12-4 every year picking the Patriots games because he just picks Patriots. There's no analysis there.
But there was analysis to this.
No, they're welcome.
If this was,
offense will be fine is not analysis. There was no analysis added beyond that. That's why I mocked
you
at the time.
I'll be honest with you. If you want to criticize me for lucking into something, an element that I didn't necessarily foresee, the reason I thought they would be better is I didn't think a whole lot of Randy Moss, the current version. And if you don't believe that, go back and listen to some of the shows we had in the offseason when we were talking about re-signing him. I believe the word I said to you, Fred, was he was done being Randy Moss.
The reason
I thought they'd be fine without him is because I didn't think he was an impact guy anymore. Now, that's not really – I mean, that was true, but that's not why they're fine now. They're fine because Deion Branch is an impact guy. Welker is getting better and healthier, and Danny Woodhead has been remarkable. Because I just didn't see the separation anymore.
See, I must have not watched the right training camp because I thought he was the
best
player on the field every day.
I saw him making catches. I didn't see him wide open all the time. Like I did in 07.
I never saw him wide open ever.
Oh, in 07.
I thought he made plays over people in 07. I thought he made great catches in Miami, in Cincinnati.
No,
there was always a DB there.
In training camp.
He just contorted his body to make the play.
In training camp in 07, I thought he was wide open
all
the time.
At least I'm saying he still has the ability, Randy Moss. But
not to do it consistently.
And the guy, you know.
I'm just, because all summer, I thought he was literally the best player on the practice field.
So did I.
Every day.
And I think we wrote that, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
So I had nothing to lead me to believe he was done.
Right. No.
It was his best camp as a Patriot in my eyes.
Andy's right.
I never saw him do that stuff in other camps.
I was on an island on that one. Yeah. Andy's right.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to turn this into a whole Randy Moss thing because.
Well, it's not. It's about the Patriots offense now and how productive they've been.
Yeah, and how productive they've been.
Smoke and mirrors offense.
You know, even
again, whatever makes you feel better, Andy.
You know, Gronkowski and Hernandez. You know, they're not catching
that one. I hit.
They're not catching a lot of balls per game, but they seem like when they do catch, it's not really catching a lot of passes every game.
I mean, it's just.
I mean, Welker's getting his seven.
Right.
Brady's Branch getting alternates. Back to being Brady. I mean, it's. I think this is what he's at his best doing. I thought that was a little overrated, but now I don't. I mean, I think he has been better playing that way.
Well, I think it's his skills. You've learned. When he's throwing the ball 20 yards but anywhere on the field, left to right, that suits his arm strength, his vision, everything.
And
he's better suited to making reads and throws in that area.
And I think that it just stands to reason that when you're throwing the ball in the areas that Andy just talked about, the reads are coming quicker. And I think that's when he's at his best, when he's thinking. The pre-snap stuff that he does better than anybody else, I think, is plays to his strength. Now, if it's going to be, I'm going deep down the field, once out of every three or four passes, maybe it doesn't get out as quickly, and sometimes it's not unfolding as quite the way he thought it would before the play.
Right. And on defense, I mean, the Patriots are never going to be, at least this year, a shutdown defense where they just shut down a team. But they are getting a little better at, well, at least in this game, you know, getting a few third down stops, and, you know, they continue to make plays. I love seeing Brandon Spikes make that play he did, because that's the type of play he made in Florida. You know, he had a lot of interceptions in the middle of the field like that.
He had a lot of picks. He returns them for touchdowns. Yeah. He was Teddy Bruschi at Florida.
Right, right. So it's nice to see him do that.
I think he got the ball right thrown between
his numbers.
Well,
sure he did. But all those, even in Florida, all those picks were quarterback.
No, at Florida, if you watch some of them, he was moving.
Yeah.
Kind of like
this was literally thrown right at him.
Pick against Cincinnati. Guyton
or Ninkovich. Yeah. They made cuts to get in front.
Well, this was happened to be in the red zone where there wasn't a lot of space anyway. But
he just,
you know,
Sanchez didn't see him or didn't look or whatever.
Well, he had decided before the play, I'm going to play action, look up and throw it over the middle, and my guy's going to be wide open. Yeah. Instead, if Spikes didn't pick it off, there were three other Patriots behind him that may have.
McCourty with his sixth interception.
He's the best developer.
McCourty has been at a level.
He runs with a receiver down the field like no corner I've seen
here.
The last month, he has played that position as well as you can play it.
I've never seen another Patriots corner run with a receiver down the field as well as he does. Law was better. Samuel was better, but not in the running flat out down the field with a receiver running a go pattern and just staying comfortably in the hip pocket with your hand on his hip.
And like I said, and knowing when to turn for the ball. That's an instinct that, you know, we're constantly looking at these guys go, turn around.
Because he's under control. Yeah. Everything he does out there looks like it's under control. And that, I think he runs with him so well because he has confidence in his speed. Most guys, he's running a go. I got to run as fast as I can and just try. And then you end up running by. The receiver stops and makes a catch behind you. He runs a half a stride behind and in control at all times, turns at the right time, and he's there in position to make a play.
Yeah.
That's his development is probably the best sign for this defense.
And he's done that now, just off the top of my head, three times that I can think of. In San Diego, I think, against Creighton on a deep ball down the sideline. He did it against Calvin Johnson on Thanksgiving, and now Braylon Edwards the other night. Just running stride for stride, inside hip pocket.
That'd be nice if he talked to the media.
And he turns at the exact right time, and he's got great ball skills, too. He makes great plays on the football when it's in the air.
So six interceptions, two away from the rookie record set by Mike Haynes. So that would be something.
Patriots rookie record, right?
What's the rookie record?
I don't know, but I'm just...
Did Bird have 10
if that's not it, I want to make sure.
Well, I don't think it is, because didn't Bird have 10 or 9?
Oh, yeah, he had a lot last year, right?
So
and that wasn't a record either. Right?
But that'll be nice if he could at least tie Haynes. That would be just unbelievable. Webradio at patriots.com.
He's going to have a lot of chances to get it, too, because the way, I mean, teams have been throwing the ball. That's the way to play against the Patriots.
Not Sunday.
Patriots have been ahead in games for the most part.
Until the point where they say we got to keep it away from McCourty, which, you know.
Kyle Arrington will be in trouble.
Right. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio. At patriots.com is the email address.
You even eat now.
A lot of people emailing in about the power rankings. ESPN apparently has Atlanta as number one. How can you say that with the teams that they play? You know, strength of opponent is part of power rankings. That is just ridiculous.
Didn't they have a big win over the Ravens?
Yeah, so what? SI has the Patriots.
I mean, I don't see Atlanta. Yeah. I don't think Atlanta's very good, to be honest with you.
I don't either, but they beat the Ravens 2 weeks ago, and that's a good win.
SI has the Patriots as number one.
Barely.
So? They barely beat them, too.
I know. To me, that makes them all three playoff contender. Good wins. Good teams.
The Patriots just decimated another team that
may or may not be good.
Top three.
That may or may not be good.
Well, if they're not good, then Baltimore's not good, because Baltimore has two more losses than the Patriots.
Oh, I forgot. It's all about the win-based formula with Paul Perillo.
Well,
we don't use the eyeball test and say whether a team is good or not.
I think they're
good.
All good. I think Baltimore's a good team. I think Pittsburgh's a good team. I think the Jets are a good team. I think those are great wins for the Patriots.
The rookie record looks like it's 14, by the way.
Four?
14.
You mean in the league or?
Yeah, in the league.
14, Dick Train Lane.
Yeah, back in 52.
Back in 52.
With Paul Brown.
Back in 52.
With Paul Perillo.
Right.
In the fall of 52.
Michael in Texas says, 14, so Andy, wow, the 9-7 heart, did the Pats put the clown suit
glad
on you the other night?
Glad it's been up from 6-10.
Still moving the goalposts on us?
I don't really know what that means.
You know, are you moving what you're saying?
It's
like a moving target. Are you moving the target on us? Are you saying one thing one day and saying another thing the other day?
I don't know what that means.
Look, Andy will admit he was wrong about the Patriots.
To start the season, yes.
We all were.
Yeah.
Except me.
No, you were too.
And you don't analyze it.
Yeah. Right. So you were wrong too.
Yeah. No one.
Unless you get your wish and they lose 3 out of their last 4.
Yeah.
It's
true. You do have to pick against them because you always say, I got them with 5 losses. I got
conditions on the ground have changed.
Exactly. Oh, so the target has moved.
Sure.
Okay. Just asking.
I will say, driving home Monday night was the first time all year that I've been surprised by this team all year. I thought they were going to go 10-6. Driving home Monday night was the first time I said, this is the best team in football, and they are a Super Bowl favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And I said it. I mean, I don't think they need anything to fall their way. Anything can happen if you make the playoffs, obviously. I don't think that anymore. I think now if things are even, the Patriots are going to win.
So now do you guys understand what I meant after the Pittsburgh game that we know what they're capable of? Do you understand what I meant now?
Yeah, I didn't really think that until Monday night, to be honest with you. Yeah.
But we knew they were
capable. Yes, I knew what you meant
when
you said that against Pittsburgh, but I think they've had some ups and downs since
then. Sure. But we knew
what we saw on Monday was not what we saw against Pittsburgh, or certainly not the next week.
No, but we saw dismantling a good team, in relative speaking, this year.
No, I
they
know.
They dismantled a good team in Pittsburgh.
They were from losing to Indy. They were in a dogfight in the first half in Detroit. I mean,
that's my point.
It's not like you've gone like this. It's not the Bill Belichick constant. This was an exclamation point stamping out of the Jets.
Monday night left no doubt to me. Was a complete and total.
Yeah. I still look at it the same way. I think they go into the postseason and there's 3 other teams that could just as easily beat them.
Yeah, there's no guarantees, Andy.
Because I think they're the best of a weak league. I still believe that.
There's no guarantees.
But you're not going to go in against any team and say, wow, I'm worried about this, matchup.
I will with the Ravens.
Well,
I think they're the most consistent team in football.
I think they
show up for a fight every week. They haven't won all of them or most of them lately. But to me, they are the most consistent team in football. I think they put a playoff performance on the field more often than
not. I just think they're going to need to score too much against the Patriots to beat
them. And that may be. I'm not saying they're going to win. I still fear them. The last time they were here in the playoffs, they killed you. The last time they were here in the regular season,
respect for everybody.
You needed the defense to get stop after stop after stop after stop for you to win. Are you going to get the defense to stop, stop, stop?
That was
stop,
a long time ago.
It was. Right. No question.
A long time. This offense, to me, is different.
But,
than it was then.
So's their team.
That was
his
the baby steps.
Edward Reed.
That was the baby steps of their development.
Should the Ravens be fearful of the Patriots at all?
Absolutely.
God, yes.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. I think every team that makes the playoffs should be very fearful of the opponent they have to play that week.
I think that's fair to say.
I don't think that's always the case every year.
I still think that
I don't think you
teams
always open up with your first game and say, this team could easily beat me.
Hey, Fred,
this year it can.
I'll tell you right now, and this is not out of the realm. It's very logical that the Jets will be 5, Patriots will be 1. So if the Jets win, and assuming 6 loses to 3, the Jets are right back here in the divisional round.
Right.
I don't expect to beat them by 42 points.
No.
I respect all of these teams. I don't fear anybody.
Yeah.
But the Jets are a good team. I think the Ravens, Andy's absolutely right. The Ravens will show up for a fight. You're not going to intimidate them when they come here for a playoff game. Pittsburgh's a good team. I love the matchup with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
All be tough teams. I think we've got a little bit of help with San Diego evidently deciding that we're just not going to do it this year, because that's another team that I would have said they will not be intimidated by the moment coming into a playoff game. Well, now it looks like they're not going to have a playoff game to come into.
Even
Kansas City, if I had to go there, I'd be concerned I was in a dogfight.
Well, I think you have to take every team very, very seriously.
That's my point. I'm not sure that's always the case.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you had to take the Jacksonville Jaguars in an opening round game here at Gillette Stadium very, very seriously. They stink. A couple years ago, I mean.
Not now.
Well, they still stink, I think, but
They are playing pretty well offensively. I don't know what they have defensively.
Well, the offense is Del Rio.
Fat boy running for a bootleg touchdown. Those are supposed to be easy. You see the move he had to make to get in?
Well, I think he wasn't expecting that guy to be out there.
No, I know. That's my point. The guy's not supposed to be out there. So it's not – you didn't run that boot all that well.
He still got in pretty easy.
Yeah, but he had to make a move.
And it was first and goal.
He's fat and slow.
Strippers writes in, the Patriots clinch a playoff spot next week with a win.
Or a tie?
A Miami loss or tie, plus a Jacksonville loss or tie.
Really,
or
really, we're starting this.
A Miami loss or tie, Popsicle plus an headache. Indy loss or tie. There are other scenarios in which New England may clinch a playoff spot if they clinch the strength of victory tiebreaker over certain teams this weekend. But bottom line, if they win, they're in. So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that last week, that I was wondering, there's a lot of teams that could still have finished 10-6. Remember last week they were saying that if we won the Jets game, the winner was going to clinch a playoff spot. Evidently, that wasn't the case.
I don't know if this on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Is this call for right now? Okay, Larry from Miami's on the line. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello, Larry. We're just basking in the warmth of a 45-3 win.
Same here down here in Miami, even though it's a little chilly. But...
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah,
I heard
sure,
you guys
I'm
got a little bit of
sure
a cold
real
snap
cold.
Down there.
Oh, yeah. It dropped down last night. Maybe it was about maybe 30.
30? Ooh, that's cold. That's legitimately cold for Florida.
Not that much colder here.
Oranges are freezing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Who are you, the Dukes?
Is that what they call them these days?
God.
You got the crop report?
Huh?
Nope, sorry. Go ahead.
What do you got, Larry?
No, I was just like, you know, how we was not emotionally prepared to lose. I was not emotionally prepared to win like that.
Well said.
Now, did you do something that you got in trouble for after the game?
No, not really.
All right.
But it was so crazy. I was sitting there. I was like, okay, we just scored again. And the scores kept on going higher and higher. I was not expecting that. I was expecting 27-10 or, you know, something in the range that we usually know that, you know, the Jets and Patriots play.
Right.
And it left me speechless. And all the people I bet with, oh, my God, it was just crazy.
It was like winning at a slot machine, but the coins just kept coming. It's like, okay, we won, but, wow, we're winning more and more.
it was just crazy. But it was nice to, you know, to shut Rex Ryan up. That's my favorite part.
Yep.
And, it was great, and I'm feeling good. And you know, I know y'all arguing about, you know, weak league this year, but 10-1 is the best team in the league, and so they have to come to our house to play us.
That's right.
They got kicked out in our mouth on last year, but this year is a little different because last year we were a little injured. So this year we will be more prepared for the Ravens if we get the Ravens.
I think so.
I don't think you could be any less prepared than you were.
I don't think you look at last year as any type of indicator for what's going to happen this year.
No. God, no.
You know?
This is a totally different football team.
Yeah.
In terms, the biggest thing is everything we said last year, they can't get the play. They don't get the play they need on either side of the ball to win games.
Yeah.
This year, it's the exact opposite. That's one thing you know you're getting is the play.
And here's the thing. Here's the funny thing about the Ravens. If you look at them and say, well, the Ravens aren't the same as they were last year either. They got Husman Zada and Anquan Boldin now. That hasn't really shown up on paper yet,
you know,
and it's because I think of Flacco.
Yeah, I don't think he has progressed.
Because Boldin is
like
all
would.
He's hyped up to be. That guy's a player, you know.
I think it is Flacco who has not taken that next step from great rookie year, good to the top of the league.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we thought the Ravens could be even better this year, but that hasn't proven out.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, but this year, everybody's going to have to score. So, I know we can score. And after the Moss trade, I was skeptical, but we can score, and that's because I knew the key to the game was for the tight ends. But I was not imagining everybody was getting involved. So it was a great, great win for all of us. And, you know, Super Bowl, here we come.
All right, Larry.
See you, Larry.
All right.
Put a jacket on.
30 degrees down there.
Larry from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Calling in.
I mean, that's down the bottom.
Webradio
@patriots.com
is the email address.
It's real Florida, not Jacksonville.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris from Stamford. Hey, guys, and the person who's probably not there yet. Some quick topics for discussion.
Eric will be by later.
There you go.
Gets me every time.
The Jets are frauds. I don't see it, but looking at the recent results, there could be an argument made that the Jets aren't as solid as we thought. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, but I think the Jets will hammer the Dolphins this week and get over the loss. Rex Ryan, if I were a Jets fan, I'd be concerned that he seems like he's trying hardest to convince himself of how good his team is. His latest comparison to the 1985 Bears loss to Miami not only lacks context and overlooks the defensive problems the Jets have shown recently. Anyway, glad your emotions are in good hands, Fred. Yeah, that was a little weird. I know what he was saying, but he used the wrong example to say it.
Why?
Because he was saying, well, you know, other teams have lost big games in the regular season and then gone on to win the Super Bowl.
So why is that not a good comparison?
Because the 1985 Bears, I think, were a hell of a lot better than the 2010 Jets, for one thing. It was the last game of the season, and it was to ruin a perfect record.
It wasn't the last game of the year.
But I think the reason he brings it up is because it hits close to home. It was his father's team.
Right.
No, I know, but
that's all. It's what he knows.
But the 85 Bears were light years ahead of the Jets this year, and so yeah, wow, they bounced back and they won the Super Bowl. But they were an amazing team, you know. So
they were better.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no problem with that comparison.
They also didn't get blown out, though, did they?
No, but they gave up a ton of points. They didn't get blown out, but there's supposedly impenetrable defense gave up like 38 points or something.
I'm putting the Jets in my little Patriots thing from earlier in the year. I don't know that Super Bowl champions get blown out like this. So I may have eliminated both the Patriots and the Jets from Super Bowl contention.
I don't think you can make that generalization.
The Jets have issues on defense.
Because I included the Patriots.
No, because the other teams have been blown out and then won the Super Bowl.
The Jets have some issues right now, and until they get they are not going to be a Super Bowl contender playing defense the way they've played it. Just not going to happen.
The Patriots or the Jets?
No, the Jets.
Oh. But the Patriots can be a Super Bowl contender.
Right, they don't have the offense.
The Patriots
to
have
cover
an offense
up.
To supplement it. Right. The Jets can't play like that. The Jets aren't going to win a lot of 38-35 games.
Maybe they should.
The Patriots can
win.
They're
not going to be playing the Detroit Lions in the playoffs. That's the problem.
I think they need to loosen it up a little on offense, personally.
They're not going to be, you know, what?
I think they need to loosen it up a little on offense.
Maybe.
I still think they're having an identity crisis. I think they still think they're great on defense, and they're not. I still think they think they're a powerful run-based team on offense, and I don't think they are.
I didn't have much of a problem with their play calling from the Jets' perspective the other night. I think it really came down to the quarterback just not being accurate. And
but
if you look at him,
even
he's
that, he missed a lot of short throws.
He's 55%.
Let him go deep.
Right? That showed the other night. I mean, that's a below-average completion percentage.
But a lot of those were within 7 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Exactly.
He's throwing incompletions.
Exactly. And
go
they
deep.
Caught.
You're going to miss throws, miss them deep.
But the plays were there.
No, I know.
Those are first down throws. I don't know. Worked pretty well for the team in blue.
Philippe from...
Yeah, they had 12, not 6.
Exactly.
Aren't you the one who told me he was half the man that Brady was, as his number showed or something?
Yeah. I think that was pretty evident.
Philippe from Sweden says, this has to be the best week ever. We kicked Rex Ryan's ass and dominated the Jets. Props to the Gillette crowd, since you could hear the JETS suck, suck, suck chant. Yeah,
we
heard that
right
too.
Under
that
the press
good.
Box. Yeah.
This, however,
because of us.
This, however, is small stuff compared to last night's episode of No Ordinary Family. One of you guys finally made it big time. When I heard the name Paul Perillo, I had to rewind and listen to it again.
What's No Ordinary
Unfortunately,
Family?
Unfortunately, the casting department made a mistake, since the actor was a man in his mid-30s, good-looking, in shape, and sporting a full head of hair. Keep it up, guys, and let's kick Cutler's ass.
Wait, that's not a John in L.A. show, is it?
No. Is there a joke to that or something?
I guess there was a Paul Perillo in the show.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Paul Perillo's not that unique a name. There's Paul Perillo Tours.
It's Mario Perillo.
Mario?
Well, he might have a brother named Paul. What's that show? Is that the Chicklish show?
It's the Michael Chicklish show.
Oh, what a terrible show.
I haven't watched it.
I get a thing for the
But
wife,
that's kind of cool, though, that your name just pops out on the on a show.
Sure.
It's not like, you know, it's Joe Smith.
Well, we have to watch In Plain Sight, because I know John in L.A. is working our names into it.
Where has he been?
He's busy.
He's busy writing shows, working our names into scripts.
Yeah. Derek from the University.
You know that passes through, and they're like, what the hell is this? Who are these guys?
Who made these names up? They don't even sound real.
No, but everybody has to have
a name. Jake Steele? Come on.
You know, what's more, you know, Lincoln Hooper or Andy Hart? It's got to be one or the other.
Lincoln Hooper.
It just sounds so dirty.
It does.
I don't know why.
I gave her the old Lincoln Hooper.
I once wrote a short story with the name Binti Peterson. That was the kid's name.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
You used to write short stories, too, huh?
Well, you have to when
now
you're
you write
college.
Short edit letters. Binti? B-I-N-T-Y?
Yeah, Binti.
Where'd you get that from?
I just
like
hopped
a stew?
Into my head.
Oh,
that's
Dinty Moore. Right?
Dinty Moore.
You're like Kyle Arrington. You made up your own character.
Right.
Wasn't that in Eric's story? Didn't he make up a god or something?
Dear PFW guys and Eric, if he's by yet. This is Derek from the
Oh, he's by. He's just not here.
What a game. I'm still
pumped.
I'm glad
you don't say too much anymore.
I'm still pumped, and it's already Wednesday. I hope this game coming up isn't a letdown. I have a couple questions. Hopefully you can answer a few. First, can we say we had a good draft yet?
What?
Can you say we had a good draft yet? Sure. I don't necessarily mean for this year because clearly some guys are producing, but I don't know how to really evaluate if they'll be in for the long haul or if they'll suddenly stagnate. Is it too early to tell? On a related note, I read someone, I think Mike Reese, say that other teams such as the Colts had trouble in the draft the same years we did, which I hadn't heard before. Any thoughts on that?
I think if you look at any team's draft as closely
as you look at the Patriots, you're going to see the same problems from, you know, one year they had a decent one and other years they didn't, you know.
Sure.
It's a very...
I think the Patriots have been among the better teams in the Belichick era.
Even Bill Polian, who, love him or hate him, you can't argue throughout his career, he's had made some pretty good personnel decisions. He says you just hope to be right 51% of the time. You know, he wasn't talking about gambling. He was talking about personnel decisions.
But this is one of those things, too. Like, we all want to stay patient when our guys aren't playing right away. Like, Jerry Hughes was Indianapolis' first-round pick. He's not played very much, even with all their injuries. He's active now every week. Earlier in the year, he wasn't active. He's playing now, but he's not doing much.
What is he playing, though?
I think he's playing kind of that Freeney kind of role. You know, they want to get him on the outside.
That was kind of my question.
But he's not playing.
Mathis and Freeney, so I'm not sure there's a huge hole to fill.
Right, he's not playing very much, and he's not doing very much. Does that mean it was a terrible draft pick?
No.
I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe for just what you just said, Andy, where is he playing? Maybe he can't play that Mathis and Freeney defensive end. Maybe he has to be more of an outside linebacker.
And I think the point.
And they play a 4-3, so maybe he's not.
No, but he could
be
the best pass rusher. And if Freeney breaks an arm and he goes and plays, and all of a sudden you say six sacks.
I think Paul's point is if you can't say, you know, just because they're not playing, it's a bad draft pick. If you say you have to wait for that, then you have to wait to make a verdict on a McCourty or everybody else too.
Right,
you do have to wait, but I think you see signs and say
Vernon Golston will come out who does get playing time and he just stinks it up.
McCourty, I think is pretty. I think what he's done is pretty evident.
I would put McCourty and Gronkowski in the. I'm confident saying they're going to have long NFL careers.
Yeah, see,
I don't know how great they'll be, whatever, but those two I think will
Some other guys that they play right away and you think, wow, you know, and then all of a sudden they taper off a little bit. And conversely, there's other guys, you know, Ron Brace didn't play hardly at all last year.
Right now
he's playing more. Now is he playing great? No, but you know, Darius Butler played a lot last year. Now he's kind of an afterthought. So just kind of let it unfold a little bit.
I'm going to finish this email, but I do have a question about Darius Butler, see what you guys think. But second,
Algie
Crumpler.
Andy talked to Darius Butler today.
I've heard he's a good blocker, but his name doesn't get mentioned during the game very often, probably because he isn't catching passes.
Right.
With Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, it's sometimes hard to know when he really means that a player works hard and is a good player. Your thoughts on him?
He means it.
Yeah.
And we just saw it again. Not just the tight ends. He clearly, we've joked about, he's the father of the tight ends. I give him a lot of credit. I don't think a lot of players would accept that role. Part of your role is to look over those two idiots, and I mean that in an endearing way. They're young idiots that can play, but they need somebody guiding them in the right direction, and he has taken to that role. I don't think all players would. I think some players would say, my job is for me to play. It's not my job to make sure they play. Today, he walks by Hernandez and says, Aaron, let's go. And Hernandez grabs his playbook and literally runs behind him to the meeting room.
That's good. That's a good nugget.
Some of those veterans might look at it and say, why am I going to help these young guys? They're only here to get my job.
Right.
You know, and a guy like Crumpler, he knows he doesn't have much time
left. He might be off this team next year. He could go from captain to not on the team.
Yeah, he knows he doesn't have much time left. You know, he's looking at it and saying, geez, you know, my earning power is right now. I need to maximize. I need 3 more years.
Or... You know? I need to catch some balls.
So why am I going to
help Hernandez learn the playbook when if he doesn't, then I'll get to catch some balls. I'll have 20 catches at the end of the year. Some other team will hire me. I think it takes a big man to do that. And I believe him when he says, I've been to Pro Bowls. I've been the man. I want to win games. I want to win championships.
Right.
The best way for them to do that is for this offense to have those guys contributing.
Right.
But I think Bill means every time from day one he's meant how hard he works, what a leader he is, what a good influence he is. And I agree with the assessment that you can't always believe it when he says that.
Third, I didn't think about it going into the game, but there's been some talk since about how hard it would be to lose on Brewski night. Do you think that had an effect on the game?
No.
I mean, they were winning before the halftime thing.
But the whole thing was
Brewski
night.
It was Brewski night. He was out there for the opening coin toss.
More importantly.
Yeah, they were – Bruschi talked about saying before the game he looked in Brady's eyes and saw that look that he said, there's no way they're losing this game tonight. You could tell. They were ready to play. It was pretty evident right from the start. They put a lot into that game, and it showed.
Let down.
And the Jets were overwhelmed.
Darius Butler, how did you think he played?
Not that well.
No?
I thought he was chasing some receivers. I thought he got lucky with some bad throws a couple times in his direction. I don't see a huge difference now. He's not in the end zone giving up touchdowns, but I haven't seen this great eye-opening, okay, he was benched and now he's
a
better
player. You don't think he played a good physical game?
I didn't notice much difference. I saw him chasing some receivers.
All right. I thought he got physical with some guys.
Okay.
You know.
Sure.
Let's
see. So you think he's back or?
No, I just think it was a good step in the right direction.
Okay.
Let's just put it at that. Let's see. Aaron in Port Jervis, New York. It seems that since Rex Ryan took over the Jets, or as the head coach of the Jets, that he has felt that when it comes to the draft, quality is more important than quantity. I'm not sure of the exact number, but I'm pretty sure they didn't have more than 5 picks in the 2 years combined, while the Pats have like 24 picks in those 2 years. My question is, do you think that this could or is affecting the Jets' depth?
Well, it definitely affects their depth, but I have no problem with it. If you think the guys are the guys, you go get them.
Yeah, I think
if you're wrong on Sanchez, it's going to hurt you.
The Patriots have had years like that, too, where they've been a little bit lower. I think they needed, because they struggled, I think, in 06, 07, and 08, I think they needed drafts that had high numbers, not necessarily one or two great players. They needed high numbers because they needed to replenish some of that middle class of the roster that was lacking. I don't think the Jets are not a deep team, though. I think that they're a pretty solid team. They've dealt with some injuries, just like everybody else. Don't you guys? I mean, I don't see.
I would say underperformance would be an issue.
Yeah, they haven't played that well, but
like
Chris
Taylor
Jenkins.
For Golston. Maybe they don't need Jason Taylor to be playing if Vernon Golston is the guy he was supposed to be.
Right.
You missed on your first round pick. That sets you back.
Chris Jenkins is their big run stuffing nose tackle in the middle, and he's been out since like what, week 3?
Yeah, but wasn't he hurt last year too?
I'm saying is their run defense hasn't suffered.
Right, right.
You know, so I some guy named Mike DeVito is playing.
Right.
You and I don't know who that is, but that's Kyle Love for
right.
you.
Right.
And we know who Brandon Dedrick and Kyle Love are, but they're playing and they're contributing.
Right.
I don't think he's definitely right. The Jets have had very low numbers in the draft.
But they've also traded for guys and signed guys.
Yeah.
And
oh, no. I mean, you go down the list, they had a number of free agent signings, notable
ones. And that's not the same as draft.
Yeah.
No, but you only have 53.
But
right. So if you have a bunch of those guys.
You have to require players.
What was I going to say? Jim Leonard. How much do you think that affected the Jets in that game?
What did you say?
Well, I think it was 17
or 24.
It was the fourth down play. It was 17. It was the fourth down play that they missed like 3 tackles on.
Right.
I go, maybe everybody was right, Jim Leonard. Maybe they missed Jim Leonard a little more than I thought.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that had a difference. I thought Ian Rappaport from the Boston Herald wrote an interesting piece today talking about how he broke down a lot of the throws and how Brady basically avoided their best 4 defensive backs. He didn't throw a ball at Revis all night, not one. And he threw 5 at Antonio Cromartie in the whole game, 3 of which were complete. He also avoided Brody Poole and Eric Smith, their 2 safeties, for the most part. He found ways to go after the other guys.
It's interesting. Maybe that game plan was was put in stone even before Leonard was hurt.
Sure it was.
And part of that was avoid the middle of the field there.
I don't think you scrap your game plan on Friday.
No, I don't.
Well, I know it's a long week, but still.
And that's why I did say the timing of it. It's not like you just had a guy that was important to your team and he wasn't playing. For example, Ed Reed is as instrumental to the Ravens defense as any, but John Harbaugh knew for a month and a half that he was going to play the Patriots without Ed Reed. Well, Rex Ryan knew for 3 days that he wasn't going to have Jim Leonard, and that's different.
But it's different for the offense, too.
I also don't
think... You can't target it as much.
I don't think it would have made that much a difference.
Not that night. Rob from Marlboro, was that Andy and Eric down at Belichick's press conference?
Nope.
It was pretty fun watching him trying to not smile while talking about spanking the Jets. That was as complete a beating as there can be. The Pats dominated every aspect of the game and just about every minute of it. It was like the Pats of old with the bend-but-don't-break defense and Brady passing the ball around like candy in the playground. I have heard that this 10-day prep was long enough to allow Brady and Belichick to do something they haven't done in a long time, review film together. Do you think that's true? And the lack of coordinators has helped them, has kept them from doing this.
I don't know if that's true. I assume that's something that Mike Reese might have written, because that sounds like a nugget that Mike would come up with. And if he did, if it was from Mike, it's true, because Mike doesn't throw it out there. Interesting. Here's something else that I – they know the Jets so well. Obviously, there's no – I mean, they came up with a game plan. They had 11 days. Do you think they maybe got any chance to – not necessarily the players, but the coaches working on Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
Because of the short week,
yeah,
the long
gap. And
Brady
said so.
And, yeah, I think they
–
last week
said
Brady
that on the
said
radio.
On the weekend
right.
that
yeah.
he had watched some Chicago film
yeah.
over
yeah.
the – when they had the 3 days off, he watched
right.
Chicago.
You know, not that they were looking past the Jets, obviously, but
no.
just you,
yeah.
That was more of a show up and execute game. You knew what you were going to do.
But, you know, it's funny. We talked about at the beginning of the show, if the weather comes out like it is, all the film in the world probably won't help you because
yep.
you throw it out the door.
Yep.
You know?
It's a great equalizer.
It's interesting. Yep. And some people want a Super Bowl to be decided like that. As Andy called it, a luck game.
Wow.
Right?
I'm okay with the Super Bowl being a luck game.
I would be really, really disappointed.
Another reason why we shouldn't like the Jets.
I'd be real. I don't get it.
Because they insisted on having a Super Bowl in the new stadium.
Oh, that was the Jets' fault, not the Giants?
It was mostly the Jets.
You sure on that?
It's the Giants' stadium, but it's the Jets' fault.
The Maris
You're
on,
unbelievable.
The Maris on one side, and Woody Johnson been around the league for, what, 10 years?
They
the
need
the
money
side,
more.
It was the Jets' fault.
Yeah. Higher operating
How
costs
are they
the
splitting
Jets.
That money and stuff?
I have no idea.
Are you getting a piece?
Does the home team get money?
Oh, sure.
Or just the home community?
No, the home team gets
So
money.
We'll get to see Dallas, too, Andy. I haven't seen the new Dallas stadium. Whatever
February,
Jerry Jones calls. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in, Fred.
All
I'm
right.
In. Monday night, that was it. I told you. I was driving home, you know, in between, you know. No, never mind.
I had the toughest drive home ever. That was the longest drive. I don't know why. I've never been that tired in the 10 years.
That was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. I had a couple rumble strips. I was
I'm surprised you don't have some type of
I had rumble strips
bag
but not the
that
same
you strap
time.
To yourself when you're in the car.
No. Rumbles, I mean I fell asleep and hit the rumble strip.
It
was as tired as I've ever been and I don't know why.
I thought you meant I have a rumble
and then my
underwear has a strip.
Well, I had those kind of rumbles. I had those kind of rumbles, Fred, and I also had them coming out the other way. I had a tough ride.
That was your best of the show.
Nathan from Cardiff, Wales. Hey, guys, love the show. What a great win. One of the best since I've been a Patriot fan. Not the biggest, but one of the most satisfying just to see Rex Ryan's face. He didn't know what to do on defense, and offense was complete domination. Vince led our defense, kept shuffling around, confusing Sanchez, and a fired-up Brady leading the offense. The Jets on D were lost with the amount of changing the pats we're doing. Also, I know we give up a lot of yards, but we keep making big plays each week. I think the D is getting better each week. I've also noticed we don't give away as many penalties on defense and offense, which is helping our cause. And P.S., I love it when Paul and Fred argue. It reminds me of me and my brother, who is a Colts fan, and I keep reminding him of how many rings Brady has to Manning. Cheers, keep up the good work, and I hope to come over next season. Good.
Good stuff.
Third highest local TV rating in Patriots history.
Wow.
Regular season.
You know, actually,
yeah,
Kevin
Patriots
was asking
defense,
me.
I thought, played at a different level Monday night. I don't know how much of that had to do with the Jets, but, you know, people keep saying they're getting better. I thought Monday night you saw that it was better. You know, they got some stops, as you said, early in the game, Fred. Then they took the ball away when they got the big lead. That's what you do. When you get a lead and you make a team one-dimensional, you force turnovers. That's how you play defense.
Right. You make the other quarterback not throw to his receiver.
Right. You know, but the previous game, they allowed 24 points to the Detroit Lions. You know, in the game before that, they almost coughed up a 17-point fourth-quarter lead against Indianapolis. This, to me, was a marked difference between what we've seen for the most part this year.
Speaking of turnovers, Kevin asked me before the show. I didn't have an answer. Are the Patriots approaching some type of record for consecutive games without a turnover?
I think they've gone now four games.
Four, yeah. Cleveland was the last one.
Yeah.
Something like that. And I think the record is like seven.
Okay. Remember, they were the first. What was it? Them and the Falcons were the first since 70.
But Atlanta turned it over Sunday.
Yeah.
Atlanta had gone five in a row.
Yeah.
And they turned it over Sunday against Ryan.
What was the thing? They were the sixth team since the merger to go three straight or four straight?
Five. Atlanta was.
Oh, I thought we were with it.
Anyway,
I think Atlanta had gone 5 in a row and was the first one of 6 teams since the merger to do that. I think the record is 7, something like that.
Well, I'm it's 12:56. We need to take – 12:57 now. We're 1 minute late with our break.
That's the most impressive.
We'll
Fred,
be right back after
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. A lot of good stuff to talk about today. Big win over the Jets, 45-3. Oh, my goodness. I was just beside myself. Curse words were blowing up. Comments, over 6,500 comments sent to curse words on Sunday.
And Fred posted 10 of them.
No, I posted quite a few. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Let's see. Is there anyone hanging on the line? No, we have an open line. We do have one open line. So if you want to call in. Chris with a TIAN writes in, my God, what a clinic. I still have a smile on my face. Best victory of the season, I'd say so. Indy and the Steelers were pretty good wins, but to undress the Jets on Monday night doesn't really get much better than that. Where do you start? The offense, the defense? This offense is really developing into something special. Brady is playing his finest football since what, 06, 07?
Ever.
Too bad he doesn't work out more around here in the offseason, huh, Andy? The defense holding the
suck it, Christian.
The defense.
Oh no, he didn't.
The defense holding the Jets to he went there. The defense holding the Jets to 3 points, 3 of 12 on third downs, and 3 picks. Who were those guys? Now, is the defense not championship caliber? But do you guys think they're better now than they were in September? Oh, absolutely. Don't you?
Yeah, a little. I mean, just for the fact that McCourty's better.
They were Monday night.
I think a lot of it has to do with Belichick.
Not so sold how much better they
Belichick
were Monday night.
Belichick knows what he has.
I think
better,
they're
better now, and so he's figuring out how to use
so,
them.
There's so many players playing. There's so much of a rotation, so many sub-packages. I just don't know if you can get away with that against good teams and good...
Well, you hear that, boys, do you? It's the sound of a team emphatically marching towards the playoffs.
Yeah, listen, do I think they can win the championship? Yes. But the reason I think that is because I think the offense is at a different level. And I think they can win and overcome the defense. If they continue to hold teams down a little bit, they will win the Super Bowl, unquestionably. But I'm with Andy. I haven't seen a huge improvement from the beginning of the year all the way through last week on Thanksgiving. You know, this game on Monday night, they played very well. But I still see a lot of guys open. I thought they got run on a little bit Monday night, and not when the game was over either. They got run on in the first half too.
That's why I don't even. I mean, I think some of the early stops were bad throws by Sanchez that weren't even under pressure.
I think it was too, but I don't want to take it all.
Got out of hand.
Yeah, I don't want to take it all away from the Patriots defense.
I don't either,
but the reason that you won 45-3 the other night was because of the offense.
Yeah, I think that was huge. They missed a field goal, and then they were missing third downs, and all of a sudden it was 17-0 and 24-3, game, set, match. Thanks for playing.
They missed a field goal, and they had to settle for that field goal because Sanchez missed Santonio Holmes wide open over the middle on the third down. Then the next possession, or maybe two possessions later, they drove the length of the field for a field goal, and that was the one that Braylon Edwards dropped at about the 5-yard line. That would have been a first down.
Yeah.
Like I said, I thought that they played better the other night than I've seen them all year. But, you know, maybe this is the start. Maybe they're coming together. Maybe they're going to bring this all, you know, through. Maybe the weather will help them a little bit. Teams won't be able to throw it all over the field on them the way they have because the weather won't let them do that. And maybe they are ready to make a little postseason run.
Aaron from Sterling, Virginia says, can't say enough good things about what way the Patriots handle their business. But, Fred, it's time to take your uppins, your come-uppins. It's time to take a beating for arguing that Branch was going to have a greater impact in this game than Holmes. What were you thinking? I know they had roughly the same amount of yards, but what did Branch do with his catches? I mean, outside of breaking a tackle and carrying the ball 20 yards for a TD, what did Branch do? Not only that, but the Patriots had to dedicate so many defensive resources to keep Holmes in check that Keller and Edwards killed them for 66 combined yards. I'm sorry, Fred, but this was an embarrassment.
Who's this douche?
I'm sensing a little sarcasm.
I do, too.
Me, too. My douche meter's on
and
high.
And he's got some of no, don't argue with me. Talking over you. No, I'm right. Thank you. Holmes had a greater impact. Thank you. Thank you. That's Andy. Anyway, that's all the time I have now. I have to get back to completing my Andrew Hart correspondence course, Winning Arguments, How Interrupting People and Talking Faster and Louder Makes You Right.
No, made me right that I was right. I won the argument. The result is not the issue.
I'm going to give that email with a Ted Sarandis.
Thank you, Aaron.
Round of applause.
Thank
Aaron,
you, Aaron.
That is very well put. That is Andy Hart
in a nutshell.
Debating form in a nutshell right there.
Do you understand the Ted Nation rule on cockamamie trades?
You win when, you know, Christian Fourier is the moderator.
You had no argument last week. Even you admitted it when you came in a day later and said, you know what I should have said.
Yeah.
You had no argument.
508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. Tiffany from Wisconsin is on it. Hey, Tiffany.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I love the show. Think you guys are funny. Great.
Thank you.
I just want to take issue with what you said about the Ravens. I think their offense is very suspect. They can't score when they need to make big plays, and their defense is old. I don't see how they can beat us in the playoffs.
I agree with most of what you said, but the offense, I think both sides have the potential to be great on any given day. I still think Suggs, Lewis, Reed, the core of that defense, has the potential to be great on any given day. And if Flacco plays well, I think the offense is pretty good.
See, that's a big if, though.
Oh, it is.
We haven't. He does not make plays when they need him to make plays.
I agree 100%. Except for the one throw in Pittsburgh to win that game, he has not taken that next step. And I think that's why they're where they are as a lower level playoff team rather than a top of the conference kind of team. But they still scare me. I still would never choose to play the Ravens in a playoff game. I would pick anybody else.
Okay. Okay, that's fair. I'd take anybody over with this team. They're great. Did you see the ESPN power rankings?
We were talking about that earlier. They have Atlanta number one. What do you think about that?
I think that's absurd. they had, wasn't the Jets just number two just last week?
Right.
Okay, we beat number two. We should be number one.
I think so.
I think it's absurd.
Yeah. I mean, and also
Atlanta is to me not on the level of the Jets, not on the level of the other teams in the AFC. I don't think.
I think they're. I think Atlanta is probably a rich man's Tampa Bay.
They were life and death twice with the Bucs, so I agree.
Yeah, and I also, I don't know. The Packer game left. Did you guys see? What did you guys think of that game? The Packers played well enough to win. In their supposed, I don't know, juggernaut of a stadium, I'm not convinced about the Falcons. I'm more convinced with the Packers. That game scares me.
I agree with you, Tiffany. Mm-hmm. Green Bay, I think, is a better team than Atlanta, and they should have won that game 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
They had that fumble that Rodgers had on the goal line that looked like a touchdown. They probably should have thrown the challenge flag. I agree. I think that they do a lot more things that would scare me, and not the least of which is the fact that because they play at Lambeau and they have a passing offense, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be he's not going to do the Andy thing where he's going to walk across the parking lot and say, "Oh, I can't win today."
Right.
I can't. That won't happen to Aaron Rodgers. He's used to playing like that.
No.
So that's hopefully it won't be that big of a game for the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. That's a concern.
The one thing I did want to say is I'm not sure it's a fraudulent home field advantage for the Falcons. I mean, is it now
18-1? 19-1.
19-1 for Matt Ryan.
In the guy's career. That's legit.
That's a big sampling.
Same
as
the Patriots.
Sure,
right. You're good at home.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of I'm already thinking about the Packer game. I like the Packers. I love the Patriots. Here's what I'm concerned about is Matthews. He has been quiet the last two games. I don't know if other offensive lines have picked him up, but he's been really quiet. I don't know what we're going to do about him, though.
Yeah, I think he's a tough matchup because I think the thing that makes him hard is I think he's good off the line, but I also think he has a high motor. He's one of those guys that doesn't give up. And he gets the elite kind of player sack where it's boom, first step, I get the edge. But he also gets the two,
the
three, four sack, second sack.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one for Matt Light in my mind because
I'd
be scared. You need some help there.
Don't you feel though that a lot of times with players like that, that Bill goes into the game and says, "We got to make sure that we don't let this guy beat us."
Sure.
And generally, they have pretty good success doing that.
Sure.
But I think the Patriots have a healthy respect for sacks. They know they're going to get. I think Brady knows he's going to get sacked because he'd rather take the sack than make the stupid play like Sanchez.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm just a little – I'm nervous. And also there's always Woodson back there.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay has a great defense.
I think Green Bay's a good team.
And Aaron Rodgers is, you know, one of the most productive quarterbacks. They've been hurt by injuries.
Oh, decimated. You know, decimated.
And I think Ryan Grant getting hurt early, I think that's hurt Rodgers a little bit where a lot of it – all of it is on his shoulders for that team.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
they lost all their tight ends.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you guys are great. I listen every time you're on, and I wish you guys were on more.
Well, Tiffany,
I really missed you yesterday.
Well, thank
you. Like, that was such a huge victory. I needed to.
I know.
PFW. And Pete Shepard as well.
Oh, good.
Gosh, you guys aren't on nearly enough.
Great.
And
well,
so
you know,
maybe I'm in
you should call more often, Tiffany.
I don't run into many Patriot fans. So.
Yeah.
Call anytime you want, Tiffany. You're now part of the family.
How cold is it up in Wisconsin?
And when you call in, Kevin will put you right at the top of the list so you
Thank
won't have
you.
To wait.
Lord have mercy.
She won't have to wait on all the other phone lines.
Yeah. Right.
Lord have mercy. It's cold.
And
it's going to be cold next week, but I still think we can win. Andy, have you changed your mind on that?
Well,
I'm telling you.
It's now a weather game.
It's
so
a
it's
tougher
luck.
Game to analyze, but mm-hmm. I still give the edge to the Bears. I think it's a bad
really?
Matchup for the Patriots. The spot and the specific matchups on both sides of the ball.
Okay, look at the teams. The Bears beat the Packers. Another one of those things that I can't believe the Packers lost a game. But look who they've defeated. I mean, have they beaten anybody apart
Chicago
from the Packers and the Eagles?
Yeah, Chicago hasn't really been great, but those two games were impressive. The Philadelphia game especially. Philadelphia, they beat the Eagles up.
Yeah. Well, they were without Samuels though. So
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I think our secondary meshed up with Cutler. It looks good. It's time for him to throw some picks, and I think he will this
Sunday. Yeah, but he usually throws picks under pressure, and I'm not sure we're going to get pressure.
Mental pressure. We're going to give him mental pressure.
That's fine because I think he falls victim to that as well.
Yeah.
So if they confuse him enough to get him cranky and throwing the ball around, that's fine because he gets cranky. You've seen him go to the sideline and throw things, and he tries to force the ball too much. He's a head case. Plus, Fred thinks he has a drinking problem, so that's also an issue.
He does look
well,
loaded
that's kind of documented.
If I can add, though, I think that Belichick was in Rex Ryan's head all week. I think Rex Ryan came out there just not confident at all, ready to make mistakes. That first challenge was ridiculous. I think that I think he knew he was playing to lose. I think that's what it was.
We talked about it last week a little, Tiffany.
Yeah,
they weren't
I heard you
talking.
Guys
the Jets
how,
weren't
how...
talking the way they normally talk all week.
No.
It was all about how great the Patriots were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's not them. That's way out of character.
We hired this guy who's 4 feet tall. We hit him in the snack machine in the Jets facility. And because Rex Ryan spent so much time by the snack machine, we had their whole game plan.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So my friend and I were discussing that. We knew that it was over that first challenge.
Yeah, that was huge strategically because he could have challenged the Tate touchdown later,
right.
But I don't think he did because you can't blow both your challenges early. Now, that may have been a touchdown even upon review. Probably would have been.
He's lucky he didn't challenge.
I don't know if you guys think that. I think he's a poor game manager. Maybe he's a great defensive coordinator, but I think he's not a good game manager.
I think he gets caught up in the game a little bit.
Definitely bad with his use of challenges.
Schottenheimer is very overrated. I hope they keep that guy. Keep him.
Yeah, I do agree he's overrated.
Agree.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
All right, Tiffany. Tiffany from Wisconsin. Good to hear from up north there. Green Bay fan who likes the Packers but loves the Patriots. Let's see. Marvin writes in, who gets your game ball this week? For me, I think the ball has to go to the offensive line.
James Sanders.
I know we have questioned them at various
Tom
times,
Brady.
Especially Matt Light, but this unit has really stepped up and come together. With that said, it is now time to get the Logan Mankin sign, whatever it takes. I say, yes, Bill, get a deal done. It's Marvin from Kernersville, North Carolina.
With who? A deal was done with who? Mankins?
Mankins.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. A lot of people I know talk about all this bad blood. I don't think that's part of this equation at all. If the Patriots give Mankins the contract that he is looking for, he'll sign it.
Yeah.
Just a quick note from practice. Evidently, Dan Copen, not out there. They walked through indoors today, and it was like Will Hite and Mike Wright, but also Dan Copen wasn't seen.
Is it practice-related? I mean, injury-related?
Well, I don't know. The injury report doesn't come out until 4 o'clock.
I thought you had sources. I'm sorry.
Random thought from Ken Walter, who wonders why Bruschi didn't mention him at the halftime ceremony. Good line. He's still rattling off the names.
We were only talking about people who contributed.
That was kind of like his. Who was that guy who got out of the presidential race because he yelled, then we're going to hear.
John Dean.
That was kind of his moment.
Howard.
He was just
Howard
yelling,
Dean. Howard
he was just
Dean.
Yelling
Howard.
Off names.
John Dean is from Watergate.
You're going to offend someone. Once you start listing more than like two names, now people expect, well, I want to be included too. You got Joe Andruzzi on there.
It.
I want to be there.
That's the one. Kevin
Dyer. Just hold on a second. I want to get back to this.
Dan Copen thing?
Yeah. Well, because that was all in the practice updates, but I'm looking back like a little while ago here, and I'm not sure who this is from. But the Patriots worked out a veteran center today or this week. I don't know who.
Or this year.
Kaplan NFL. I don't know who that is.
That would be Adam Kaplan from NFLinjuries.com.
Yeah,
or
he's a notable name.
So maybe there's something
to that.
Is
it Adam? I can picture him.
I thought it was Adam Kaplan.
But he's a notable name. That's a pretty reliable source.
That's not good.
Did you see this funny photo that's going around of the Jets?
with the 45-3 under it?
A little bit different. That was misreported. People said that that was the Jets' charter.
Oh, I assume not.
Apparently it isn't. It's just that airline has a deal with the Jets, and, you know. So the Jets weren't actually on that plane.
Which of these guys could still get fired for taping?
Well, I think they definitely would if it was their charter.
But I think either way, why are we screwing around with a plane?
That's all right.
What if they leave it on there and the tape comes off, gets stuck in the engine, and the jet crashes? Oh, it's all fun and games, 45-3.
Let's see. Well, anyway, Ken Walter writes in, I'm not a Moss hater, but after a while I learned to stop getting excited about what he does in training camp. He's the world's greatest training camp player. Too bad they don't have the playoffs in August. Two, Andy does a great job on Tutcher and Rich. I love the contrast between him and Breer, who talks a lot without really saying anything.
Well, thank you. Who's this?
Ken Walter.
I like Ken Walter. He's probably the best punter we had in the last
decade. A complaint, because I don't think there's much you can do about it, but there's a lot of bleed through from the Big Show into the audio for roster report. Can you hear those clowns screaming at each other? You can hear those clowns screaming at each other in the background. I haven't listened to them in years, and every Friday is a reminder why. For some reason, I think the lousy weather forecast in Chicago helps give the Pats another reason to focus on preparation and lessens the chance of a trap game.
I agree with that.
Okay,
it's a reason to be focused, absolutely.
And the new long snapper is doing well, so well, I've already forgotten his name.
A little shaky Cthulhu the other night on one or two of the early ones. I think one of maybe the first field goal was high. Maybe it might have been the extra point. But in the first quarter, I noticed there was one that was a little off, but nothing like what was going on.
One bounce Ingram.
Yeah. did you happen to see what Tom Izzo, by the way? He's the coach of Michigan State basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
They got killed by Syracuse last night.
It's Syracuse.
He said, I felt like the Jets. We took it like a sissy out there.
Wow. I love it.
How do I get that? That'll be in first down.
I don't know. Gretchen Zoe tweeted it.
Treated it?
Tweeted it.
James in New York City this past Monday was the most satisfying win in recent memory, probably since the Pats stopped the Colts on fourth and goal in 04. Everything from BB passing?
Paul would like to update that. Paul's saying 3, so I'm assuming it was 03 when that happened. 03?
Okay. Everything from Belichick passing and going for it on fourth and two went up 38-3 to McCourty continuing to make his case for Defensive Rookie of the Year, despite showing that he does have some coverage skills, to our 6'6", 240-pound Romanian punter burying Santonio Holmes out of bounds.
He was jacked up for some reason.
Did you see the chest bump he gave when he was going off the field?
He almost
fell down.
He also hurdled a guy coming off the – I don't know why, but he was as excited as I've ever seen any holder punter type. And I don't – I guess Bill just got him all frothing at the mouth.
53 guys were one. I mean – the other night, there was no beating that team the way they came to play.
I did see Steve Mannieri coming out of the press box. He looked like he was worked up, even though he's inactive. Is that his name?
He's on the practice squad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Those guys that snuck in the elevator ahead of us and cost us an elevator ride.
Brian from Aspen writes in, you guys just don't pay attention.
Screw you.
Felger has been espousing for months that this team is better without Moss.
Felger's an a-hole.
When are you guys going to open your ears to one of the best media minds in sports? Of course, that isn't Felger, but even Eric can get lucky once, can't he?
That 800 number, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
Andy is making fun of us for being lucky, you know, about things.
Give me a break.
This, to me, that Felger is 100% right. He said this the day they traded Randy Moss, but this to me is the example of being ridiculously lucky. There was nothing fact-based about it, and believe me, I know, because I'm part of the show with him every Wednesday, and I listen to him browbeat me every single week, so it's not like I haven't heard what he has to say. If he had said to me that A, B, and C is going to happen because of A, B, and C, and this was going to do this, and this was going to happen here, he hasn't done that. Basically, he thinks they're better because Randy Moss isn't on the team anymore.
But he
that's
thinks
his, that's his Paul reason Perillo for everything.
He thinks Matt Cthulhu's better because Moss
isn't Randy
on
Moss
the team.
Isn't here.
And he thinks...
The defense is picking off Peyton Manning in the closing seconds
right. Because
Randy Moss isn't there, having a bad influence on people.
And that's actually
idiocy.
Why I don't listen to him.
That's complete lunacy.
Every week is about Moss in some way.
Eric, I'm not going to lie. You have absolutely stepped it up sartorially.
I have an all event because to go to tonight, actually. So
a what?
I have an event to go to tonight.
Oh,
so.
Eric's sporting a really nice camel hair coat.
It is.
Yeah.
Well
where's
done
the
there,
camel?
Fred.
Now he's proud of you.
You killed a camel?
No.
Where's the hump in the back? They kill camels for their hair, or do they just shave them?
It's not real
they
camel
don't,
hair.
It's, yeah, I don't know why they call it camel hair.
Oh, I think because of the color, too.
Color?
Yeah, my guess would be originally.
It's a nice coat.
Maybe originally they did. Because
a camel gave its life for your jacket.
I'm an animal lover. I'm an animal rights advocate. I don't
could just shave it.
Like to
let it grow back. I don't necessarily have to kill them.
Yeah, but I bet you they killed them. Where do camels live? Africa?
Yeah, in Northern the desert. Northern Africa.
I'll tell you what, I'm
Middle
so confident
East.
They're going to win
Sahara
if they lose.
There's
so
none in America, right?
Zoos.
Out in the desert.
We haven't gotten rid of that clip yet.
South America, there's a llama, which is sort of like a
llama's
relative.
In Dargasol. Down the street from us.
I didn't finish Lama, Brian's email. The rest of Brian's email, he says, this was Rex Ryan's grease board game, only with much worse results. What the heck was his thought process in allowing a kicker who was one step from the unemployment line to attempt a 53-yard field goal in the win? The Jets have to get rid of Edwards. They have fooled themselves about the viability of some of their big-name players. Dansby certainly hasn't delivered what they thought he would either.
That's Miami.
Yeah.
He's on the Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't know what...
He said, the kicker
suck,
thing, I'm
going
to defend Rex Ryan on the field goal. Yes. And the reason is, and Andy will back me up on this, and Fred, I don't know if you were paying attention.
Probably
but
not.
We were talking about a pregame. He was hitting everything, Nick Folk, that direction from 58 yards and in. He was hitting every single one of them. He choked. He didn't hit the ball right, and that's...
He was a Jet. Which
exactly.
All Jets on Monday
they
night
were overwhelmed
choked.
By the situation, and he choked. He was making everything from 58 yards and in. In that direction in pregame, every single one.
It's true.
So when the guy goes out there and has a pregame and tells you this is where I'm hitting from, mm-hmm. and you're inside that, and you got to expect him to make that field goal.
Yeah,
you got to expect. He kicked the ball sideways. It was a Vanderjack kick. That's a choke.
And he's now missed whatever it is.
Yeah, it's
six
like
in the last
six out of his last 13 or yeah. something like that.
Quick side note: we haven't.
I think they're ripe for the picking.
Okay.
Is Josh McDaniels getting fired? Did you mention that earlier?
We didn't mention that. Broke just before the game.
You actually broke it, Fred, on via Twitter.
Yeah, you broke it in the press box.
Yeah,
no one else had heard mm-hmm. it.
And then the buzz started.
The
buzz.
And then you know when it was 45-3 with 4 minutes left, the guy from the Lynn item found
yeah.
out.
That's right. He started.
And then the guy who corrected
hey, Josh McDaniels got fired.
The guy who was chastising him said, "Yeah, that happened 2 hours ago, and it was more like six."
yeah,
right.
it's like it the Bowery like down there. I don't know what they're doing.
But I was just, I think that's going to be a topic of conversation. Will he be back?
And I say no.
I say no as well.
We haven't gotten that many SPFWs about it.
I'm a little surprised.
One. Well, I'm a little surprised,
when you win
too,
45-3 the day he becomes available.
Yeah, you scored 90.
The highest scoring offense in the
league.
Had you
lost 45-7, there would have been, where's the creativity in the play calling?
Well,
bring in McDaniels.
Well, third?
The thing is, I don't think...
And everybody wanted him out of here last year.
We haven't heard the last of that story as it relates to the Broncos, too, because I do hear that they looked into whether or not they would have grounds for firing with cause.
I did see that.
So, and I think if they do try to do that, you'll see a lawsuit and so
could
on.
Could get ugly.
Yeah.
I was just more the angle of, would he come back? Would he be welcomed back? I would say no. I would think the owner would have a problem potentially bringing him back if indeed there was lying, cheating.
Yeah.
Because he talks to Bolin, obviously. Mm. And I
that
think
the bigger
issue
obstacle.
Is the assistant head coach is the father of the guy he railroaded. I think that would be an issue. You'd be asking those two to work hand in hand.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
And I'm not sure that's a line in the sand Bill Belichick wants to be
excellent
drawing in his
point.
Coaching
Plus,
staff.
Do you really need an offensive coordinator right now?
Well, on the field, I would take McDaniels. But all the crap off of it now that he has created and or... thrown gasoline on.
Does Brady look like he's needing a quarterback's coach? I mean, I don't know.
No, but I'm of the belief you always add talent if you can. And he's a talented coach.
But I think you can argue that what O'Brien and the offense have done so far this year can be categorized as a talented move.
So if Andre Johnson were available, you wouldn't sign him? I'm just saying the offense has scored 45 points, but you add wherever you can. You get better wherever you can. Correct.
Okay. But what if Bill feels that O'Brien and McDaniels are equal at this point?
He doesn't because he didn't give the title to one guy.
No, but maybe now he does. Maybe in the offseason he'll get the title.
But if they're equal, if I have Randy Moss, if I can get Andre Johnson, I get him. I always get better wherever I can. I don't assume I'm at my best.
But how's there going to be room for two guys who look like they're the offensive coordinator?
Why did Bill Parcells bring in Bill Belichick to work with Al Groh? Because he had a good coach that was available.
Now you're really
it's
talking
the same
apples.
Thing.
No, it isn't. I don't think Al Groh's on the level of Bill Belichick. And I think, you know, he wasn't going to fire Al Groh, but he wanted to get Belichick on his staff.
Wait a minute. Do you think you think Bill O'Brien is at the level of Josh McDaniels?
He's proven himself. I think it's a lot closer than Bill Belichick and Al Groh.
Okay. Bill Belichick in 1996, not Bill Belichick today.
But Bill Belichick is a defensive mind, absolutely. Not as a head coach.
Yeah, because that was his calling card.
That was his
defensive
thing.
I think they're the same guy.
I think it's a similar
argument. Oh, I don't.
I mean, McDaniels won the Super Bowls as a coordinator with the best offense in history, went on and failed as a head coach, and you could bring him back.
I think Belichick is
clearly. Why didn't they bring back Charlie Weiss or Romeo Crennel?
Maybe they didn't want him to.
Maybe they didn't want
Crennel. I did.
Maybe they didn't want to come back.
They didn't really have the option to.
Why?
Because they signed with Kansas City.
Oh, but I
don't know.
Yeah, maybe they didn't want to come back here.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you said you'd take him.
I would take Crennel. I wouldn't have taken Weiss.
But that's personal for you. You don't like Charlie.
That's not
fine,
true.
But that's why you didn't want him back.
No, I thought that they needed more help on defense.
But
that's
you didn't
why.
Want Charlie back because you don't like him.
But my point is, if you can add a coach that makes you better, that's a good coach, that knows your system, that fits in, you add him.
Yeah.
But I think it's personal stuff that would keep this from happening.
Yeah, it's the off-field stuff that's the reason I don't think it'll happen.
Ramon from Denton, Texas says, quick comment and question. The only thing that would have been more satisfying about McCourty's interception celebration would have been if we were in New York. Now, did you check that out?
Is this the Jets thing?
The wing,
oh,
the
I thought, no, one of our guys, because my kid said that he had a six celly, which means celebration. That's what they say. That's
what the kids say nowadays?
Yeah. And I guess he
say,
was like,
what the hell are you talking
he
about?
Was moving, he was moving his one hand over the top of the other.
Oh, yeah, they've always done that.
Making it rain.
Oh, is that what that is?
It's called making it rain when you're in the strip bar.
Yeah,
the dollar bills are coming off
James
your hand.
James Sanders has been doing that for like six years.
And that's what
that's
And
when
called.
I asked him, he said, I can't tell you.
Yeah, it's called making it rain.
Well, you know
why?
That
makes sense.
Because it involves murdering.
Right.
At that time, I asked him. It was probably right in the midst of the Adam Backman Jones
thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's what that's called. It's called making it rain.
Is that the same thing that Hernandez did? He was the one who threw the ball up and did the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Is that what he was doing, too?
Yeah, he did it, too.
So they're all making it rain?
And then they were doing the Jets thing later.
I like the Jets thing.
They were flying off
the
field.
I like the mocking.
Or maybe they were just telling each other, this is where we're going.
I like when Woodhead mocked Holmes.
I did, too.
With the first down thing.
I like mocking. I think it's
really?
Fun on the field.
I would have never guessed.
Do we want to know when to practice or no?
I just want to finish this. My question now is, if there is indeed a lockout, would there be no more PFW shows? This show has been a staple in my life since last year. So, Fred, come up with a plan to save a quarter of the football nation.
Forward this one to management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had heard about Dan Copen.
You did?
Yeah. Do we have
and
any?
Jake Rove?
Well, that's why. Do we have any news I was going to ask you about a veteran center that we worked out? Jake Rove.
Jake Rove was the reported, excuse me, was the center who reportedly worked out with the team. Yeah, Copen was not at the start of practice, and I will emphasize that. Okay? Hint, hint, wink, wink. He was not at the start of practice.
Okay.
Neither were...
So you're saying he wasn't there at the start of practice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when we get an injury report later, you know, I don't think it would be completely out of the question that he winds up being listed as, you know, limited participation. That's just me editorializing a little bit. Don't read anything into that.
You got a twitch over there?
Mike Wright and Jonathan Wilhite were the other two who were missing.
Wilhite do? He just walks around the locker room the whole time and then misses practice.
Right.
If you're injured, usually, Wright, I haven't seen.
Maybe he
checks in and he's gone.
Right.
Mike Wright, I mean, Jonathan Wilhite is in the locker room.
The
full 45 minutes, we're in there.
I know.
No treatments, no
meetings.
I was
asking him today what he had going with Patrick Chung on the national championship game, Auburn and Oregon.
Is it possible he's like, you know, done and just they haven't announced it yet?
No.
So he's got nothing to do?
A little bit of curiosity here. They went inside the bubble today for their walkthrough. Now, the walkthrough part doesn't really raise an eyebrow because it's only, you know, 36 hours or whatever after
they're still
after
sore.
A game. Right. But they decided to do that indoors with a conditions-like game coming up this Sunday.
Right.
Thought it would, you know, if you're going to do a walkthrough, you can do the walkthrough anywhere. Why not at least try to acclimate yourself to the cold?
But you're not doing anything.
Yeah, I think
so
the walkthrough, it's more important to be inside.
Maybe.
And
maybe.
To be here, people
that's
can hear you, pay attention.
Yeah. Maybe.
Whereas
the
if it's cold
day,
as crap,
so,
people
yeah.
lose
yeah.
focus.
The execution is what you want in the elements.
Right.
Yep.
So
the
tomorrow,
instruction, I think,
they'll
makes
be
sense
in the
to have in a controlled environment.
Tomorrow, they'll bring fans out.
Okay. Just
to make it even colder.
A little out of the ordinary, that's
all. You did hear about the weather forecast, right?
Oh, I did. I got the email from the ops people, too. So.
So dress warmly. Double layer.
I never worry about Eric.
Couple waffle undershirts too.
Two waffle undershirts.
Yeah, maybe a little heavier collared shirt, and then three sweaters.
I might go with a sweater this week.
And a camel-toed coat.
Camel hair.
Oh.
Andy.
Wrong part of the camel.
He misspoke.
So Myron Pryor returned to practice. First time we've seen him in a little while.
He's back. From the back.
From the back, right. Back of the leg, back of the leg.
Fred
so
Taylor out
Grove.
There?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Kyle Love is the dirty show belter.
Yeah, there were six black jerseys. Matthew Love. Slater, Fletcher, Love, Hernandez again. He keeps getting those quite frequently. They should just
Played
name
Dustin
the, they should
Keller
just name
week.
The shirts after Ross Ventrone because he's got another one.
Well, the Ventrone family memorial shirt.
Right. And Tony Carter, the practice squad corner. He's been getting a lot of them too.
Who is he?
Practice squad corner.
No, I know. I just maybe he was Darrell Revis.
And they worked on kickoff return with the jugs machine. Graham wasn't doing any kicking.
Okay.
But
he's the one guy that wouldn't hit the roof on his kickoffs. Fred, the one guy you've made fun of on PFW TV is the kicker who's been here 2 weeks. You never take shots at players.
Why'd
you
make
shot
fun
at
him?
Because of his short kickoff. Talking about keeping the ball away from
joke.
Hester.
Mm. And he goes, in this win, Graham won't even be able to reach him.
He goes, well, Graham wouldn't even reach him anyway.
Strippers.
So what's the Jake Grove thing? I was confused. Did we sign him or
Jake Grove
him
was worked out reportedly.
Why? What happened to Jake Grove?
He was
like a high pick.
He was on like 15 teams though, hasn't he?
But did
Miami
he get hurt?
And Oakland,
he was in
think,
Miami
right?
and, was in Oakland. And Oakland.
I thought he was on more teams than that.
But he was. What, did he get hurt? Did he blow out a knee? Why is Jake? Why did Jake Grove fall off the plane?
I didn't think he'd be available. I was surprised when I heard the name because I thought he was on a team.
He was a first round pick, I want to say, as a center.
I think he was,
which is a rarity, and you rarely miss on those as well.
Mm.
He must have gotten hurt. Can we get some strippers information?
Is he
speaking of strippers,
Kevin, can you look up Jake Grove?
Strippers tweeted out to Roddy White, quote, Atlanta is not at the level of the Jets, not at the level of many AFC teams. Paul Perillo, PFW. So now Roddy White.
Why are you? Whoa.
He's causing trouble, Paul.
Why are you doing that?
What happened?
I didn't tweet that out.
No, he did.
No, but I didn't tweet that
out. I know.
But you said it. It is out there.
He quoted
you. Said it on a radio show. I mean,
I have no problem with it. That's what I believe, but I didn't tweet
it. What is
it?
I missed the whole thing.
Just the stuff that we said about Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta is as good as the top AFC teams.
What was the last name? One more time.
Grove. Jake Grove. Grove.
Mina in New York City is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Mina.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Whoa, it's ladies' night here at PFW in Progress.
I'm actually calling from New York City, which is where I go to school.
Okay. How are you?
I go to LSU, but I'm originally from Westboro, Massachusetts.
Oh,
sounds like you're using one of those sneaker phones that you get from, you know, subscribing to Sports Illustrated.
No, I just have service.
Oh, don't be nice.
But I was just calling. A few questions. I was watching the game at a Jets fan's apartment, and it was the funniest thing when he walked out in the third quarter, just crap about Smith and whatever. But I was just wondering if you guys thought that so poorly. His throws are just a hair too high.
I'm sorry, Nina.
She's talking about Nina. Sanchez and how
he
played.
The one part is something about Fred Kirsch being the best ever. I did get that, but we were missing every other word. So why not try calling back if you get a better
tough
connection.
Tough cell phone there.
No landline.
There was something about Sanchez. We all talked about that. We thought he was off the mark all night. I thought that was the bigger reason for the Jets' offense struggling. Not to take anything away from the Patriots' defense before Andy and I get attacked for that. But I thought that Sanchez was all over the place and just missing open receivers, especially early in the game. They had opportunities to move the chains, and he blew it.
Why did he blow it?
I think he was overwhelmed.
By the situation or the weather?
The moment.
Was the weather part of the moment?
Only he could answer that.
Because the moment's, the moment's a bigger issue than the weather.
I'm saying the moment because that's what he's done all year. He completes 55% of his passes. So he's obviously missed a lot of those all year. Because you have
but
to be 65%.
He didn't make a single play.
Nope.
Now, granted,
he got out of
he's
hand
made
on
plays
it.
Late, and he was never in position
don't,
to
but
make
But don't
any
you think
late.
That more often than not, you know, he's going to miss a throw or two earlier in the year, but the defense is going to keep them in the game? Well, this was
but even the
defense
the spikes
didn't keep him in the game.
He
at
put
the
himself
same
in position. Okay, we score a touchdown. Maybe I feel a little good, and he ruined it.
Well, he didn't even look. He just threw the ball blindly.
But that I think it's a bigger issue for them if the moment of just a big road night. Division game got him more so than he was affected by the climate. I think you can grow into the climate thing. If you have no stones, you have no stones. They're not going to drop, even though Rex Ryan wants to tell me Vernon Golson's dropped before his eyes.
Yeah.
They're not
going to
drop in year whatever.
I don't think I thought
the guy played at USC. You've been in some games before that mattered.
But not a ton of them. And I just thought he was affected by – I thought the team in general was overwhelmed by the
well,
moment.
Well, I think to some degree you are what your quarterback is.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's the difference right now.
That's the head of the snake.
Bad Kevin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and D-Bag. Hey, guys, awesome win. F the Jets. Is there anyone other than Brady that could possibly win the MVP?
No.
I don't think so.
And
I think this might be the most clear-cut MVP that we've had in years.
And is there anyone other than McCourty that could possibly win the Rookie of the Year?
Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, Suh could win the Rookie of the Year. I think McCourty should because he's on a good team.
The bigger award that's in question is the Comeback Player of the Year. None of us know what it is
right. And
who should win it because Welker never missed anything. He missed three quarters of a game.
Right.
So is that worthy? And
yeah, I think Vic overtook him, though, at some point.
See, I think Welker should win it. What did Vic miss? Nothing. He went to jail.
A year and a half of his years.
But last year was his come. If he had been great last year, okay, maybe.
I still wouldn't have voted for it.
Right. This is the argument we like to have. Yeah. What it means, who's eligible.
Right. Do you see any way that the Patriots lose two of their last four games and finish 12-4? If 12-4 is the case, please remind all of your faithful listeners which of you was the closest to predicting 12-4. We know it's not D-Bag. He picked 6-10. D-Bag's bitching and moaning about this starts now.
Fred was 11-5. So
you were
going to
do it. Fred you were going to start. You had to catch yourself.
Only because that D-Bag said it.
Good one.
Conditions on the ground have changed. They're a better team than we expected.
Well, we had so many ifs that we were talking about in preseason and training camp. Most of those ifs have come to be facts. You know, the young players have stepped up the way we thought they would. Some of the second-year contributors have done what they've been asked to do. Brady and the offense have, you know, gotten on track after, you know, the confusion with Moss and all that stuff.
But even bigger than that, I would say, for the Brady part is we had him as not an if. He was one of the few sure things, but he's been more sure.
Yeah.
He's been as good as – I mean, I think – are you agreeing, Fred, that this is as good as we've seen him play?
Absolutely.
I mean, we didn't expect that we could see more from Tom Brady. We thought we knew what Brady at his best was, and he got better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's key.
I agree with that. Listen, they're much better. I didn't think they'd be able to win 10 out of 12 games playing defense the way they've played it. I also didn't know the other teams
were going to suck.
Every time they've gotten in a shootout game, they've been able to win it, and I think that's remarkable.
But, I mean, we've now seen the Jets lay down for them. We saw the Chargers lay down for them.
The Steelers.
The Steelers are just what I think we thought they were. We all said the offensive line was an issue, and that's part of the reason you won, because you were able to get pressure for the only time this year.
I think they played a very difficult schedule, and I didn't envision them winning every game the way they have. So, yeah, I was wrong. What do you want me to tell you?
Chris from Narragansett writes in, I expected a win but not a blowout. Do you think Woodhead provided the team with intel necessary to blow the Jets away?
I think he might have provided some intel, but I don't know if that had anything to do with the way they played.
I think they know a lot.
They know a lot, and they were psyched because of what happened in week two. There was a lot of motivation there.
There was a lot. There was a clear emotional edge in this game.
All the Jets quotes from Ryan saying they're the best team to Santonio Holmes instructing them not to put a rookie on him. Well, they didn't put the rookie on him, and, you know, would he advise against that in the future too?
Right.
Well, he wasn't covered all night either.
No, but
he
had seven catches, 72 yards.
But he was wide open every play he went out for. It just the quarterback didn't get him the ball very often.
No, but when players hear stuff like that and then they shut the team out, basically, they like to rub it in guys' faces.
Mike in San Diego, two thoughts: are you concerned with the missed tackles on defense and special teams Monday night? That's one question.
I didn't think there were that many missed tackles.
Oh, there were
coverage
some.
Coverage was a little loose.
The kickoff coverage?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's been very good for a long time.
And
I mean,
Sean Green ran through Gerard Mayo to turn a six-yard run into a 13.
Yeah, early on, they were missing some tackles. I tend to look at it on the positive side. I know you guys how you look at it.
Yeah, for the opponent.
When you only give up 3 points, I'm sorry. I didn't think there was that many missed tackles. You guys are right.
And two, did you hear Fatboy comment in the press conference about the Pats running up the score?
No. What was it?
Actually, That's not
who commented?
No.
He really didn't mention that. He mentioned that, you know, we kicked their butts the first time. They kicked our butts this time, but we'll remember.
The only thing that I would say that you could criticize that about is he's equating a 28-14 win with a 45-3
right. with a butt kicking.
Right.
That raised my eyebrow. I want to look for the I want to look for that quote just so I don't destroy it. But yeah, it wasn't necessarily he wasn't complaining in even the slightest bit. He said that this is a team that took shots at us last year when they were up big. So and they want to listen. He goes, you know, they won one now, we won one, and you know, they want to get us back. We kicked their butts in our place, so we expected it. And he did say we will remember it. But I think they're going to remember the loss, not you know the score. They're going to remember we got our butts kicked. That's what they're going to remember.
Yeah, and
it wasn't in any way like complaining about having the score run up one. And I was in the press conference, so I mean, contextually, he was not making any issue of the fact that the Patriots ran up the score.
And wouldn't you, if that were your coach, wouldn't you want him to say that? Wouldn't you want him to be using this as motivation, saying, hey, you know what, we really did get our asses kicked next time. We can't let that happen. Isn't that what you want your coach to be saying?
Sure.
So I don't have any problem with what he said.
Nathan from Southern Cal, with that win, I don't know if I'm more excited to contend for a bye in the first round or to hear the Pete Shepherd show after a win like that over the Jets. Fred, I expected a little more excitement from you, especially because you were so emotionally invested. That might be why I'm a little, you know, worn out.
Are you worn out? You seem fine during the game.
During the game. I'm running on fumes now.
Now you have to go to L.A.
Boost up the enthusiasm, Fred. Thanks for providing great podcast insight. I've really enjoyed PFW, Playbook, and Pete Shepherd, and increase his to 2 shows a week. Well, maybe if we go into the playoffs, maybe we'll have to. You know?
Jake Grove, by the way, was a second-round pick in 04 for Oakland. And he spent, I don't know why I thought he bounced around a little bit, but he spent 5 years in Oakland and then 1 year in Miami. So he's not a
journeyman. So he's been out of football?
I thought he was a journeyman.
He's been out of football
this year? Yeah, he got cut after the 09 season, and I don't think he's been with anybody this year. Unless this is wrong, I asked Kevin.
Gergo, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, from Hungary, says, Andy, how can you possibly think that we won't beat the Bears? They barely beat the Lions.
They're a good team.
Twice, if I may add. Cutler is turnover prone. Their O-line is a mess, and we match up well against any defense in the league. I had enough about us not getting enough pressure thing. We always had enough pressure on the QB when we needed to. Look at the
Colts. We haven't had pressure on a quarterback all year.
Look at the Colts game, the Monday night game, the Pittsburgh game. We got to the quarterback when we needed
Monday night we did?
Also,
we didn't get anywhere near Sanchez the whole game.
Also, you could see in the case of the Pittsburgh game that we can take advantage of crappy O-lines that the Bears possess.
That's the one truth
you
said.
That's the one X factor, I guess.
Andy, I love you, but get real and start believing in this team. He should.
I see. I think that Chicago's not. I agree with the emailer about Chicago. I don't think Chicago's as good as, what are they?
8-4.
9-3?
They're 9-3. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're that good. They were life and death with the Lions twice. They were life and death with the Bills.
But it's a road game. It's tough weather.
I just don't think they're a very good team. Now, the Patriots might suffer a letdown.
Sure.
Coming off the Monday night game, emotional hangover, all that. That could happen. I just don't think that Chicago is a very good team. Certainly not as good as their record. But Cutler hasn't been turnover prone this season, and their defense has played well for the most part all season. Could be conditions on the field, could be very difficult to play the high-flying offense that the Patriots have been using.
That stat that New England hasn't lost in the snow, that's all time, right?
Well, I don't know.
No, you mean ever?
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
What is it then? Is it in the Belichick era? Or?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. And all those games have been at home, correct? Those snow games?
I don't know.
Because there's the potential for snow
on
Sunday.
No, Buffalo.
We won a game in
Buffalo.
We won a game in Buffalo.
That's right. That's right, Buffalo.
And what makes it a snow game?
I think we've
snow.
There's a chance of snow.
What makes it a snow game?
Is a flurry, is a half an inch.
No, it has to be on the ground.
Any snow that's...
Accumulation.
Measurable.
You know, like Casey's note, when it drops below, when
now
it cools down, the pads heat up.
Any snow measurable?
Well, like
you didn't really clarify.
The AFC Championship game was... basically flurries. There wasn't like a foot of snow during the game. Which one was it?
The Colts.
Yeah, the
Colts.
Well,
there was snow on the field that game.
Right.
But I was just wondering what the rule is.
Beforehand. Right, the snow during the game was.
Andy's
just
looking for rules. It's a, well, it's a meaningless stat.
What
Andy's
is a
looking
snow
for
game?
Rules.
Define a snow game.
Right,
it's snowing.
More importantly, Jay Cutler has said, "quote We have one of the worst fields in the NFL, so footing could be an
oh,
issue."
Oh, it's a horrible.
And they resodded it, so
yeah,
could be an issue.
All right, where
all those little sharp cuts underneath when you're setting picks and
gotta
stuff.
Got to get rid of all the
was
grass
it nine
fields.
Inch
they
cleats?
Can't hold up.
Is that what you bring now?
No,
no,
no.
It's nine
five
inch.
Eighths, three quarter.
9 inch. Oh,
3/4 are the long, really
nine
long.
Inch, yeah, they'd be like.
I believe 3/4 is the.
Imagine
longest.
The nightmares they'd have at the combine. They think all these guys are 9 inches taller than
right.
they are.
Plus, you'd have to like take big steps.
Looking like Ace Frehley out there.
You can aerate the field at the same time.
And you didn't get that. He did.
I didn't hear
what reference.
What
I said? They'd be looking like Ace Frehley out there.
No, you're right.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Kiss.
Fred,
Kiss
do you know?
Yeah, Kiss.
Remember they used to wear those platform shoes?
Andy doesn't know who
remember?
Kiss is.
I mean, I know who Kiss
oh my
is,
God.
But I don't remember
oh,
them, quote-unquote. I mean, they...
All
I'm
right.
Dr. Love. I do
All
Dr. Pepper.
Right.
I know.
See, that's how he knows who Kiss is. I told you.
No, yeah. I know the songs, but...
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, that's... I mean, why? Were they bigger in the...
70s?
They were like...
Huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they were huge. Yeah.
They were
but
a huge
like,
band.
My, I think they were my second concert that I've ever
Detroit,
saw.
Detroit Rock City? Yeah. I got that 1 year for
that great
know,
album
for Easter maybe.
Yeah,
for Easter. That
Easter.
Was
the
Easter
Bunny.
Like
the Easter
weird?
Bunny brought it.
But don't they do like blood and stuff or no?
Well,
blood and stuff.
Gene Simmons would have blood come out of his mouth.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it's funny.
Just a
Easter.
Rock, just a rock group.
Right.
No, I know. But...
that sounds a little realistic for my liking.
I know.
Joel and Merrimack, hey guys, and Eric, what a game. That was one of the greatest regular season wins I have seen in my 20-plus years as a Pats fan. Ryan just looked confused the whole game, kind of like Peyton-esque. Seems like he should have continued the ground pounding and not put the ball into Sanchez's hands. He was obviously having problems throwing. Having said that, Brady is on a mission from GAD. I can seriously see us beating
it?
Chicago.
G-A-H-D?
It's not so much AFC versus NFC. It's Pats versus Pouty Boy. By the time he has thrown his second pick, he'll spend the rest of the game sulking and the Pats will roll. Not worried.
Certainly a possibility.
Not worried about JP either, Julius Peppers. Seemed to recall the last time we played him, he was a non-factor. I think we just beat a better defense than we are about to face. And much like the Jets, Chicago is going to be hard put to cover all of the Pats' weapons. If they are smart, they will try and run the ball and slow the pace of the game, much like Snack Boy would have done. Quick over-under. Pats, pick off Cutler twice.
Under.
Let's see. Sack Cutler three times.
Under.
Brady throws three touchdowns.
Sounds about right.
Not if the weather.
I got three.
Yeah.
I think he's in his zone.
All right, push.
Law firm runs for a TD.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So...
he's been good.
I'm going to say no.
He's on some sort of record pace, right? For
what?
Running back touchdowns on this team?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
How so?
That's
because
I think that was in the
post-game
notes.
Yeah.
He has 11 touchdowns.
11?
Yeah. Benny?
Yeah.
What was the question?
Isn't the record like,
all-time Patriots?
Didn't Corey Dillon have like 8 million touchdowns in 04?
He had a lot.
Only not as many as I thought. If Benny's on pace to beat him, he only has 11.
Curtis Martin also had, 15 or 16?
I know he had, 14, but I
so
thought...
it's in the neighborhood.
I thought we were in, the 20s, but evidently I'm wrong.
Oh, no.
I thought Corey Dillon had a lot of touchdowns in...
No, there's no Patriot with 20 touchdowns on the ground,
okay.
I don't believe.
Okay.
I want to say Dillon had 16, but might not be.
Bill
said, when somebody asked him about the turf, and he said, we know what it's like to sod a field in December. So apparently he's expecting the crap that we used to have out here.
Let's see, Lund from South Dakota. You guys asked on my last email, sorry to say I am a guy. Sorry for who? Are you not happy you're a guy? I don't know. Unlike Sam in Chicago, I won't lie to you. For comeback player of the year, how about E.J. Henderson from the Vikings? He had
a
devastating knee injury last
year
and came back this year and has played fairly well.
It was worse than a knee injury. He broke his femur.
Right. I don't know how well he's played, though. I haven't watched him enough, so...
Yeah, I can't tell you how well he's played. I know
tell
that
you, Welker is
people have said that he's played very well.
Get
but
basically to 100 catches and do the four straight 100-catch seasons. So I find that pretty remarkable. He could literally do it before it's a 1 year from his ACL, and I find that pretty impressive.
Scott New Hampshire says, how weird would it be for a Patriots-Chiefs playoff game?
Be tremendous.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care for it.
Why?
Because I don't want to see them. I'd rather see like a hatred game. Jets, Colts.
You don't want
Steelers.
The mutual admiration week?
Yeah. No,
Brady saying Castle's great. Castle saying Brady's great. Belichick, Haley, Weiss, Crennel.
Yeah.
Big hugs.
Yeah. I don't care for it. I like hatred. I like a rivalry.
Paul likes hatred.
Yeah, I mean, you disagree, I guess.
I would have no problem with it.
I'd rather have a team that I can sink my teeth into and say, all right, I know I hate these guys.
Yeah.
Like, you just described it perfectly. It'd be the Mutual Admiration Society all week. And we'd all say, we know they don't believe a word of it.
Well, but I think they would.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, I think Castle and Brady would praise each other legitimately.
Oh, Castle and Brady, obviously, have a lot
of respect for each other. I think it would be pretty honest.
That would be something, though, you know.
I think they'd bleep and wipe the field with them because it'd be here.
Oh, I don't even. No matter where it was,
that'd
I don't
be
think
the
it
down
would
factor. I mean, you wouldn't get a fun and competitive game. You would get a blowout.
Gene in Daytona.
Can you imagine what Bill would do to Castle. He knows I mean, he just coached them for 16 games 2 years ago. You imagine what he would do to Castle?
What?
He'd be in the fetal position by the end of the third quarter.
Maybe not.
They'd be playing that Deliverance music.
What's Bill ever won without Romeo and Charlie?
A lot of games.
Aside of going 18-1 without him, I don't know.
No. It's all about the ring.
Gene in Daytona.
Have you seen the Fox commercial? Nice to have a ring.
You know, it's not all about that for me.
Gene in Daytona says, Andy is so right about Felger. Felger is an a-hole, and I don't know how any of you guys can stand him. He's obnoxious.
Who says we could?
Perfect for that station he works at. I listened to him and Zolak once when nothing else was on, and will never happen again. You guys have spoiled me. I'm not
Except
worried
he's
about
not
Chicago.
Out Zolak.
I don't know. Yeah.
Give me a break.
You go 2 hours and that's what you have to butt in for?
Aside from the weather report, that's all you got?
I'm just saying it's not correct.
Just say it.
He knows. He used to work there. No one there remembers him, but he used to work there.
I'm not worried about Chicago because of the challenge. The Pats will rally together and be psyched up for this game on national TV. The game I'm worried about is Buffalo. A young team can believe the media hype and think that Buffalo will just roll over them and hand them the game. Buffalo is a very good team and knows us very well. They have a good running game and an up-and-coming QB. Miami will freeze in New England, and Green Bay is a challenge, and they will be psyched for it. How do you guys feel about these upcoming games?
I have my doubts about these NFC games coming up. I think they could be in trouble in one of them.
I would be much more concerned about I'm with Eric. Much more concerned about the two NFC games. I don't give Miami much of a chance at all, and provided that it's not a ridiculous weather game in Buffalo, I give Buffalo no chance at all. Buffalo is not a good team, as the emailer described. They're 2-10 for a reason. They're not good.
Right. Alex in Falmouth writes in, very end of Tom Brady's post-game press conference, as he finished answering the last question, he looked towards the back of the room, maybe a little towards his right, and said, "God help me," and smiled broadly at someone as he left the podium. Any idea who that was directed to?
It was his sister.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. And I don't think it was both sisters. I think it was a sister and a friend, or it was at least one of his sisters. I recognized her, and they were just sort of clowning with him.
Okay. So, good looking?
What?
His sister?
Yeah.
You've never met his sisters?
No,
before?
I never.
Were those definitely his sisters?
Well, I think at least one of them was, as I was just saying. I wasn't sure. I didn't see the other one.
Did you see Brady's outfit?
Yeah, my wife commented on that.
What did she say?
She said, it's ridiculous.
There was a woman, I went to the bank this morning, and there was a woman in front of me who was talking to the teller, and they were drooling over it. They were like, did you see Tom Brady's post-game press conference? He was such a model. Oh,
he
my God.
Like
they were
a vampire.
See, that's what I don't know. Is it? It couldn't get any weirder or gayer, or is it he couldn't get any cooler? I don't know which he is. He's at an extreme somewhere.
I think he's appealing to an audience that's not us.
The UGG audience.
His wife.
Well, it's a fashionable audience. It's
not a bad audience to keep happy.
Who,
yeah, exactly.
It's an audience that says, what am I going to wear today, audience?
It's right. His
you know,
wife's
I don't
audience.
Think that. Way.
Not you who shows up to a TV
right.
show.
No, but it's
short
just,
sleeves
but
and
if you
Zig
think
text.
About that, the model, like the supermodel world,
yes.
is not what the mainstream
right.
people would think is trendy
no.
at all.
No, we don't look good in those clothes.
But he's like the
well,
only
no
one who
that
does
size.
It.
Yeah.
But most quarterbacks just go up there in a nice suit and they look really good.
Yeah, I have no idea. I didn't see it because I was elsewhere.
He had a sweater with this big rolled collar, like a built-in scarf was part of the sweater, then a black overcoat with the collar up and his hair
but
was
wet. But it was a
wet,
pink collar.
Yeah, the collar, you're right, it was the count on
yeah,
Sesame Street.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but I think Eric is right. I think that's something that, that Giselle would sit there and say, oh, that's what they're wearing in Milan. Yeah, that's
I don't live in Milan.
Have.
I live in Foxborough.
That's what you have to right. do. You're cutting
well, she gave it to him as a gift and said, I want you to wear this after your press
Maybe.
Conference. You know?
Well, you know,
what's he
for
gonna
all
say?
We know, you know, but you might be onto something. For I, all we know, the guy that makes that
right.
coat is a friend of hers.
And she says, do me a favor.
Exactly. Absolutely.
For I, that, all we know.
And the only people
I think you guys
are
giving him way too much an out. I think he likes it.
The only people in the world. He definitely likes it.
Maybe that's where he's, because he's always been self-deprecating. Saying, oh, I'm not a fashion guy. Now he's married to a fashionista.
But I think
she's
always wanted to wear that kind of stuff, the
that's
metrosexual
what he's always,
stuff.
He's
right,
always
but
been
he didn't
a little
know how
bit
to do
on that
it.
Side.
Now he's got someone who can tell him how to do it.
I think he still looks ridiculous.
This edition of The View is bought
But I think it's stuff that no one would wear. It's only things that people like people in the modeling
Eric
world
Knight.
would wear.
He wears stuff like that.
You know, I honestly look at clothes that are out there and I go, wow, that looks nice. But I know I would not look good.
Oh, that
in
happens.
It.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
To me. I'm too
I just can't wear
See,
that.
I never say it.
Well,
you
know?
I walk
fat.
Through the mall. No. I walk through like the mall or like they have the mannequin set up and I say, that looks gay.
No,
literally.
No.
That's what I think in my head.
No. I'm just talking about clothes.
Express for men and
I'm talking
and these
about
places,
clothes in
yeah,
general.
They're always bleh. You get the catalogs
I'm,
in the mail.
I'm talking about, like, Paul, normal
clothes.
Stuff. I just don't look good in any clothes.
There's some
but
things that you wouldn't
see,
look
See, I think
in.
You, like J. Crew or just the kind of the old-fashioned catalogs.
Good without clothes, but, you know.
I think,
I'm
I mean,
waiting for that.
Just a button-down shirt and a pair of pants.
Well, that's all I wear.
I know.
That's all I can wear.
Just so you know.
Oh.
I haven't really been pulling that off.
I'll just come in a barrel with straps. Is that good for you?
Well, you basically did that for the TV show today.
Like that guy from the Broncos.
I was actually thinking
right,
like
right.
a toga maybe would be good for you.
A toga?
Isn't that what they're called?
You know,
just a big white sheet covering you up?
Yeah.
Toga. Short toga.
Bob Sanders has been sent to IR.
What a shock.
And apparently
wow.
their owner tweets these things out. Jim Irsay tweeted that.
I bet he has an assistant that actually
that's,
does.
That's interesting to me.
Well, they probably said it's over.
It's over, yeah.
But you
like
waited
as
all
in
of
his
this
career.
You waited all of this time.
Season.
That's interesting to
but
me.
Maybe they were waiting for him for a Super Bowl or an AFC title game, and
maybe they just gave up hope.
I
what are you, Fred? Now you stand 2 feet from the mic.
Sorry,
and talk.
I find that interesting that you would wait 11 weeks and then pull the plug. And I guess they figure there's no chance he can come back.
Yeah, maybe
well, there
was,
isn't now.
Yeah, maybe they held out hope. Maybe the nature of his injury was such that they thought. Rest would do it.
Joel reminds us that Corey Dillon had 13 touchdowns in 2006.
Oh, so that means Curtis Martin is the record holder?
Oh, yeah. I would think so, yeah.
Curtis.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought Corey Dillon had so many touchdowns. I know for a fact that Curtis had 14 in his rookie year. I don't know if he ever got more than that, but I know he had 14 his rookie year. I remember that.
Jordan in London says, hey, guys, and Eric, just a quick email for Andy's always at Talent Theory. Would you sign Peyton Manning or another top quarterback, even though we have Brady?
If it was it, yes, not
no,
for salary
well, it's
cap
not
reasons
a fair,
no,
because
you
can only play one quarterback at a
but,
time.
No,
see, but
no, if it wasn't the salary cap, yes, I would. If I could have Peyton Manning as my backup and it didn't hurt me in any way, but I can't afford a $20 million backup quarterback. But could I?
Well,
the talent of Peyton Manning, I'd love as my backup. I think that's the greatest insurance policy ever.
I think you always add
You also
talent.
Have to look at the roster
and
limitations,
what would he
too.
Do? But even if you got, let's
you
say.
You have to have a backup quarterback.
Let's say
I would
was,
just make mine Peyton Manning instead of Brian Hoyer.
Let's say he was making exactly what Brian Hoyer is making.
Then I would, yeah.
You think that's a wise move to bring in a quarterback that good and say, oh, you're just going to sit out?
Yeah.
You wouldn't worry about that. You wouldn't worry about him wanting to play or making problems?
I mean, I guess you have to consider that, but yeah, I would. I would put him on the roster.
I don't know.
I always add talent anywhere I can get it.
Most rushing touchdowns in a season, Curtis Martin, 1995 and 96, 14.
Yeah, I don't
Corey
know
Corey Dillon,
thought...
2006, 13.
Yeah, he's going to get it.
Good
Corey
idea
Dillon,
him go.
Corey Dillon, 2005, 2004, Antoine Smith, 2001, and Steve Grogan, 1976, 12 touchdowns.
That's still a record for a quarterback.
So, yeah, Benny's in striking distance.
NFL record, by
Imagine
the way,
that.
For a quarterback.
Apparently, Indy needed a roster spot. For some reason, I don't know
that they haven't.
All of a sudden, they
realized
they had 54 guys. I don't know.
Well, they just signed Dominic. They just signed Dominic Rhodes and put somebody on IR.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW
Gerard
Progress.
Powers.
Unfortunately, I will not be here tomorrow, but the show will go on.
For who?
What?
What?
Wow.
Wow.
The show will go on.
Big show tomorrow.
These guys will be here. Picks. I'll have to get you my picks. Right.
You need to make a pick definitely for the first game, the Thursday night game.
Who's playing?
I don't know.
Jacksonville and Indy.
Indy. Oh, what's the
Tennessee and Indy.
Tennessee and Indy.
Right? Is it at Tennessee? Yeah, at Tennessee.
I'll take Indy.
All right.
All right. All right. I'll see you next Tuesday. These guys will see you tomorrow.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.